Hey, what's poppin'? It is the Drew Mike Show. Hopefully to get you through the weekend here. And for the Friday show, which, by the way, it's John Lennon's birthday, October 9th.
Happy birthday.
And it's my mom would have been 100.
Oh, wow, that's right.
Yeah, how about that? God, that's hard to believe. She almost made it. I was talking to Dennis across the street. He's got an aunt that's 99. And she lives on her own, cooks for herself, takes care of herself, no problem, takes buses and stuff downtown.
Oh.
I know, I was like, what?
What's she doing going downtown?
Yeah.
Well, actually, she's in St. Clair Shores, I think, so maybe
downtown St. Clair Shores.
Buses around there, I don't know.
She knows Tom, I bet.
She probably does. We should have Tom look in on her. Maybe she could room with Tom's grandma.
Yeah.
I've been funny. Dennis is completely redoing his porch.
Oh yeah.
And so I keep looking at it going, I wonder what Dennis is doing over there. And finally I walked over today. You know, it's funny how it is with neighbors. And got the lowdown.
I was going to say, you should ask me, because I had the lowdown the other day when he was telling me about it.
I had the lowdown 2 weeks ago.
What?
You talked to Dennis 2 weeks ago?
I talked to him 2 weeks ago, and, you know, when I first came back to the studio, and he told me he was redoing his porch, so I knew that so far ago.
Wow.
Well, did you know that the contractor's
I'm going? Literally looking at my neighbors now and going, I'm ready to hang them up and gut them and skin them and chop them up. You know what? I'm ready.
Did you know the contracts have been a little iffy lately?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Wow. Oh,
they,
yeah.
They seem to have a few gigs going at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, they had shown up this morning, and it's like, hey, they came, and then they left. And then they pulled up while I was there.
Yeah.
And the whole thing looked shady to me.
Oh, boy.
The work was fine, but I don't know. Where'd they go for 2 hours?
Lunch.
Well,
it was like 10, it was like 11 in the morning.
That's hard
brunch.
Yeah, maybe they went out to a big brunch. Well, Perez Hilton, the gossip man, will be with us. He's got a new book called TMI.
Do we call him Perez or do we call him Mario? That's his.
I've referred to him as Perez with his publicist, so I think assume
Perez,
that's
he probably won't. He can't complain about Perez.
Hi, Mario.
TMI, My Life in Scandal.
He's the very first influencer.
Yeah, of the internet age, probably. Yeah. I think that's fair to say. Is he before TMZ?
I think he is. We could ask him. How many followers does he have?
Well, I think, Trudy, you just meant because of his website.
Well, that's kind of what the press kit says, too, the first influencer. Oh, okay. And I was like, wow, he kind of really was back in the day, you know?
He's a press kit. No, let's not get too carried away.
He's got 5.7 million.
Trudy, you appreciate those press kits and junkets and all those things that they do for people.
But it reminded me that when he was sort of at the beginning of all of this internet juggernaut.
No, you're right.
Gossip and stuff. So
you're absolutely right. He's 5.7 million followers. That's a lot of followers.
Pretty good.
I would not think you'd have that many. Wow. Oh, yeah, and, you know, I need to follow him. Why am I not following him? He's got some good dirt here. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get to that in a few minutes. First, Hope Not Handcuffs has helped. Well, they've gotten over 100 people to go to a police station where they will not arrest you and say, I have an addiction problem. I have a drug problem. I have a problem with alcohol, whatever it is. And they have angel volunteers who will come to the police department, help you with paperwork, make phone calls, get you into treatment. Hopefully very, very quickly. So this is, you know, instead of talking with a bunch of people or waiting for the intervention or whatever, just go to the police station. And there are 100 participating police stations if you go to hopenothandcuffs.com. You can find one near you. There is hope. Go to hopenothandcuffs.com. Learn more and make a step towards recovery. And Royal Oak should be busy this week, as still many, 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 many people have their Royal Oak bucks. They're 20 bucks. And if you go down over the weekend, you can spend it before it expires, which will be in a few weeks for some of you. So do it. And don't forget, Lyft is available for $10 off going in and out. If you want to save another $20, use the code GO2RO. And then, of course, the Instagram contest is wrapping up October 11th. That's Sunday at midnight, right?
Yeah, sounds right.
So post a photo to your Instagram feed of your favorite spot in downtown Royal Oak. Tag downtown underscore Royal Oak. Use the hashtag MIDowntownDay. Five winners selected at random get $1,000 in downtown dollars to use at the many, many, many businesses. Almost virtually all of them are in this. So there you go. It's your last shot. And I, before I came down, I just about a half hour ago, I saw the press conference, if you call it that, where Governor Whitmer was talking about being, well, the attempted kidnapping. No one kidnapped her or was close to kidnapping her. They arrested people who were talking about kidnapping
her. They were training to do it.
Did recon on her house
twice.
Yeah,
they went twice, allegedly, to her house. Now, you know, you never know with something like this.
One guy painted his boat black.
No,
really? Yeah.
Did you get away?
I like how they had meetings in the basement under the trap door, under the rug.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wow.
You know. The Fed stopped a plot to kidnap Governor Whitmer.
And I feel you don't take it this serious? You don't think it's that serious, Drew?
Well, yeah, I do. Anytime somebody talks about something like that and meets.
Well, talking's one thing, but yeah, it's the meeting and then them doing recon and trying to get the stuff to bake the cake.
Yeah, but, you know, they also say that they were going to take her to a remote location in Wisconsin and try her for treason. So, you know, I start thinking. Anyway, they, you know, I don't like people getting together and doing this. Fortunately, an FBI informant was in on it. And so they raided a Heartland Township home, and they had met in Dublin, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this time, by this time, an FBI informant was involved. And they wanted to create a society that followed the Bill of Rights and be self-sufficient. And
have you ever heard of the Wolverine Watchmen prior to this?
No. No, that's not what they used to call it when Colonel, what's his name from?
Norm Olson, right?
Norm.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the Michigan Militia, wasn't it?
Yeah. I guess there are multiple Michigan militias now. But if you saw Governor Whitmer's press conference, she blames Donald Trump for this. and I thought that this, did you see it, Brandon?
Well, yeah, I did. I saw her speech, and she did go into the portion of the debate where he said, stand back, stand by, instead of saying, stand down. And so,
if he said stand down, then these guys wouldn't have done it.
But it was, you know, it was mainly it shifted to Donald Trump and the coronavirus. That's what
Exactly. Which, what does the coronavirus have to do with her getting, well, I guess it has something to do with her getting kidnapped.
I think that's why people are mad at her.
I just hate this idea that of blaming anyone but the people who are going to do it, because I don't think Donald Trump was planning this kidnapping. I don't think he wanted to try her in some location in Wisconsin. And, you know, it's sort of like saying, Governor Whitmer killed hundreds of people in
Wisconsin.
Right. People love being so dramatic about this stuff. But anyway, these people are facing, I don't know what, probably pretty serious charges.
Why Wisconsin, I wonder?
And it should be.
Oh, because Wisconsin's free, you know?
Remember they had
a big...
barren part of Wisconsin?
They had the big state Supreme Court ruling there that their governor did not have the power to do that.
But they were going to try to get a realtor to find him a safe house. I mean, if you could...
No, I mean, they're
you call him up and be like, yeah, look at... I got somebody I got to hide in the basement. Can you recommend a couple places?
What I don't understand about these militia people, they love going out in the woods and doing their training and stuff. Why don't they join like the National Guard? Why don't they join something if that's what they want to do?
They did, man, their own thing.
Yeah, I think they've got better ideas in mind.
Yeah, they're getting a lot accomplished.
Red team, go! Red team, go!
My big question actually was if this had to do with the FBI shooting at the Texas Roadhouse in Madison Heights just, you know, a few days back. I didn't, because they didn't release any information on that, so I didn't know if those were related, because it's very rare that you hear of two FBI things happening in Michigan just within a couple days of each other.
Yeah, Robert Snell wrote a really good article. I don't know if you saw that, Drew.
Yeah, I did.
That's what's just fascinating about that guy that was shot at that.
Yeah, he lived next door to Randy Weaver when he was 15 years old.
Yeah.
Pretty weird.
Ruby Ridge, yeah.
That coincidence?
It's crazy.
Well, he's inspired really by a coincidence because he did. His parents shared Randy Weaver's beliefs, and in fact, his mother shared the menstrual shed with Randy's wife. So
he's also a member of the Boogaloo Boys too, I believe.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we have the Boogaloo Boy? What's his name? Mike Dunn had a video that was with the Robert Snell piece, where he's talking about he's wishing Eric Alport the best, or the family the best.
Oh yeah, I didn't see that.
Talking about how he sleeps with a gun with him all the time.
Oh, how dramatic.
Yeah, it was pretty dramatic. It's a little further down, I think.
Is it the guy that was very upset that this man lost his life
recently?
Oh,
yeah. It's like, he talks for about 3 minutes, I think. There he, is that him? No, that's
there he, wait, this is the guy. Below. This is Eric, yeah. He trained dogs, so that was one of his videos.
There he is.
Which
there's
he learned
my man.
That skill in prison.
Huh. There's my man, Mike Dunn. Training? Check this guy out. He's intense.
In a shootout at a Texas Roadhouse, a family restaurant, serving him a warrant for federal firearms charges. But I mean, it's not anything new for the feds to use civilians as fodder for any type of shootout that may or may not happen. They've been doing it for years. I mean, it's just like when Timothy McVeigh blew up the federal building and he hit a children's daycare with some of the bombs or with the bomb.
Oh, you're on to
them. They put the children's daycare there for a reason. They do it all across the United States.
You guys are so smart.
It's a deterrent. They've been using our children for their shields.
Yeah, well, your buddy blew them up.
But yet, y'all really do back the federal police. And that message is to the far right. You back the federal police.
Yeah.
You use the federal agents. Well, news to you, the federal agents have been using your kids.
News to you.
Oh, God.
If that doesn't piss you
off. This guy's got it all figured out.
Yeah, boy. It must be fun on a date.
Wait, get to the good part.
What's the good part?
I don't know where.
How far?
Well, if I don't know what will.
How long
secondly,
is this?
4 minutes.
Oh man, let's just keep nailing it. Let's keep putting nails in the coffin to the far right. Everybody knows I dislike the far left, but I'm making it clear where I stand on the far right too. But I heard it for years, man. When they start enforcing unconstitutional laws, blah blah blah, we'll stand up. Well, guess what? Any gun law is unconstitutional.
Any gun law.
A federal firearms charge is unconstitutional, and they murdered the man at a family restaurant with his family.
How dare you?
This was in Michigan 2 days ago.
Huh? What?
As far as I know, he was a Boogaloo Boy. He embodied our ideology, our beliefs. He lived with liberty on his mind, and they killed him. They're going to start taking, they've already started taking us out one at a time. Some of us that may have a little voice.
Taking out one at a time, huh?
Oh.
He was in a shootout, and I'm sure we'll hear more about that. Anyway, he had a bunch of gems coming up too about how he sleeps with his firearms and blah 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 blah. But romantic. I see our
this
Zoom
guy will say anything.
Oh, I gotta move Brandon. I gotta slide Brandon out of the window.
Our Wait. Zoom has been joined by Perez Hilton.
Hey
Perez.
I've got to unmute.
Hi, Perez.
Hang on.
Let's unmute Perez.
Oh, all this work.
TMI, My Life in Scandal is the book.
He's wearing your shirt too, Drew.
That's an excellent shirt.
Oh, that is cool. Well, how you doing, Perez?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Just fine. How's the book doing?
I honestly had set the bar very low. I was viewing a book release kind of like the upcoming presidential election. I needed to prepare myself for utter failure, because that way I wouldn't be devastated if it didn't do well, because this is a memoir. So it's a reflection on me. It's my story, my family's story. And thankfully it's gotten a ton of press and we're already into a second printing.
Wow. Oh, that's great. Well, I thought it was funny that you said you were trying to, get him to do a fitness wellness kind of book. And it was like, no thanks. So then you put your ass on the line and it worked.
Yeah. I was working on a health and wellness book, which nobody wanted to buy.
I'd rather have this book.
Maybe in the future, you know? So I said to myself, well, let me give the people what they want. You know, instead of trying to feed them salads, let me give them McDonald's. Everybody loves McDonald's. I enjoy a break today. I love a Happy Meal. So the book is just one giant Happy Meal, which I think came at a really great time, because We're in an awful period in history. It's very dark right now. And I think my book is a great escape. It's a throwback to a period in time that now feels nostalgic. It was like the wild, wild west at the beginning of my career, the birth of social media. We had no idea what we were doing. All of the girls and myself, we were like drug addicts, and attention was our drug. And we were just jonesing for another hit of attention. And we would do and say crazy things to try to get more attention. So it makes for a great read because I have a lot of wild stories to share.
You know, I'm dying to get your opinion on this, and I know you talk a lot about Britney in the book. I keep trying to figure out what is wrong with her. She's 37 years old, and she can't handle any of her own affairs. She can't seem to, I mean, she can't even pay bills. She can't live in a small house or something and handle things. Today in, let's see, she was in court, and her attorney said that as far as, I guess the judge was saying, look, it's interesting to hear what you have to say about Britney Spears, but she has to tell me. What you're saying is hearsay. And the attorney said that she's incapable of writing down her position, that she's like a comatose patient.
Wow, jeez.
What does that mean, Perez? What's wrong with her?
It means that she is like a zombie. She is so damaged and medicated also. Some might say for good, some might say that's not a good thing. I think I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I think that she's surrounded by medical professionals who have taken an oath to do their job well and to really protect and look at the best interests of their patients and the people that they're treating. And also this conservatorship is reviewed, as you mentioned, by judges. And it has been reviewed annually for the last decade. You know, I also heard from her lawyer that she is choosing to be under this conservatorship, that it is, according to her lawyer, which is separate from the conservatorship lawyer, it's separate from her father's lawyer, it's separate from her mother's lawyer. Everybody has their own lawyer. Britney's individual lawyer says that this is her choice.
Do you think that if she wasn't on all these drugs, is she bipolar, depressed? I mean, I assume it's got to be something like that because mostly people that abuse drugs are depressed. But people function okay. I mean, it just sounds so severe.
I mean, I can't help but also think of Amanda Bynes. And
yeah. Oh boy,
the big takeaway for this is the brain is a powerful, scary, and mysterious thing. It might shock you and your listeners to know that what really triggered things for Amanda Bynes and set everything off was marijuana.
Oh, really?
And I have read since then that some people with mental illness, a drug as benign as weed, if they smoke a lot of it, can really mess with the chemistry of their mind. And Britney has never talked about this, but everybody knows that for a period of time there, she was taking a lot of drugs. Hello, why do you think she got married in Las Vegas? She got married to that dude in Vegas because she allegedly, according to insiders, was high on ecstasy. And I love you, I love you, I love you, let's get married. You know, if you take enough drugs, that could mess up with your mind. That could mess your mind up.
That makes a lot of sense now. It never did before, but yeah.
Well, we had an interesting conversation about Amanda Bynes the other day because she posted something on social media. It wasn't just a, hey, here I am.
She's back, yeah.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, should she even be on social media? I mean, look at the mess that created the last time around.
If she was maybe somebody who was fully free of any mental health issues, she might realize that it could benefit her not just staying off social media, but also leading. I'm sorry. Let me put my do not disturb sign off. Oh, technology.
We're used to it, believe it or not.
How do I do this? How do I do the do not disturb?
Technology.
Anyway.
I just let it go off. Who cares?
Do you think Amanda Bynes, can she make a comeback?
What I was going to say was, Amanda Bynes shouldn't just stay off social media. She should also leave Los Angeles and move somewhere far away where she could live a normal-ish, not even a normal-ish life. She could live a normal life. Because if she were to move to some small town in the middle of America, sure, at first, everybody might be like, ooh, wow, Amanda Bynes. But I do like to think that us Americans, for the most part, are good people. And if we know that somebody is coming into our community to better themselves and to live a normal life, we will just accept them into the community and treat them normal. For example, Pink, the singer, she now lives in Santa Ynez, which is in Santa Barbara County, not where all the fancy people live in Montecito, where Oprah has a house and Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. She lives in Santa Ynez, where normal folks live, and it's a really small town, and she's a normal person there. I mean, we're as normal as Pink can be, but definitely far more normal than if she were to live in Los Angeles and be surrounded by everything here that is showbiz and Hollywood.
Perez, how many times have you been sued by a celebrity?
Oh, gosh, I've been sued so many times. I talk about that in my book. You know, I have a lot of regrets, and many of my regrets, outside of the obvious ones, are financial regrets, which I am paying the price for now in my 40s, because I love what I do, and I'm blessed that I still enjoy all the things that I do. But I work like a madman. I work still, and I am not exaggerating, 15, 16 hours a day. Every day. I'm glued to my laptop. And when I'm not glued to my laptop or my phone, I'm in dad mode. And I'm, you know, trying to not lose my mind with remote learning with school here. I don't know if you caught it, but at the very beginning of our interview, my son came over to show the book, and I was like shooing him away. You don't need to see the book right now. You know, I wasted so many millions of dollars in legal bills, in settlements. I wasted money when I was a bachelor and I had a real diva house. I didn't need a 5-bedroom house for myself. I didn't need to have a Jaguar. You know, now I drive a basic Ford Explorer.
Oh, right on.
And it gets the job done, you know. If I could tell anything to your listeners, is we as Americans need to reprogram our brains and teach our young ones not this concept of living within your means. That's what we hear all the time. You need to live within your means. No, you need to live below your means. Just because you can afford to do this and just because you can afford to do that doesn't mean you should. Everybody, if possible, and I get it, I'm blessed, I'm privileged, not everybody can save. Some people are living paycheck to paycheck. But if you can save, even just a dollar a week, $10 a month, that helps. It is important. I, for the longest time, didn't save. I mean, I would keep my money in a savings account, but I never invested. And that was a mistake because I was ignorant to how things work. I was afraid of the stock market. And now after doing enough research and making enough mistakes and realizing, no, it's kind of like the housing market. You just need to play the long game and keep your money in there for a long time, 10 plus years. If you do have that patience, you will make money. And it's almost better because unlike investing in real estate, stocks don't require any maintenance. You don't have to fix this that breaks or fix that or whatever it is.
That's true.
So, I can't believe I'm getting economic advice from Perez. Help me.
That was how many lawsuits?
That's a breakthrough.
Yeah. Yeah, those must be some terrible lawsuits.
Can I ask I didn't care. When you're young, you don't care about that. When you're old and you have children, you care about that a lot.
if you can possibly answer this, as far as lawsuits, what did you do that was a mistake? And or and if you can name the person, that'd be great. But if you can't, just what did you do? Yeah.
Tons of different things. I mean, I got sued by multiple paparazzi agencies because at the beginning of my career, I was using their photos without paying for them.
Which is illegal.
But you know what? Everybody does that still. You know, people on Instagram will post paparazzi photos. Like if you're a Harry Styles fan and you see a paparazzi photo of Harry Styles, you're going to post it on Instagram. It just so happened that like my Instagram, let's say, blew up and became very popular. I became a big boy and then I had to play by big boy rules. I never intended on becoming a big boy. I didn't know any of this was possible. So I got sued by a ton of photo agencies. I got sued by Britney Spears' record label for leaking one of her songs. Oh. I got sued by Warner Brothers Pictures because I leaked a photo of Jennifer Aniston topless from a movie that ended up
not making it in
the movie.
They should have thanked you for that.
Where's that topless picture?
I had to help her move.
How did I miss the topless picture?
Yeah, I got sued by Lindsay Lohan's ex-girlfriend for saying she was a bad influence on her. She lost that lawsuit, and actually she had to pay my legal bills, so that one was a win.
Wow.
Now, one of those pictures you were sued over was from John Mayer and Jessica Simpson. Of course, the Mayer story in your book is all over the place about you making out with them. Some people were doubting that story because it just seems like, why would he make out with you with Jessica Simpson, who he what did he call her? Sexual napalm.
He confirmed this. If you doubt me, there is video evidence on YouTube. Search John Mayer stand-up or John Mayer cruise. He, for a period of time there, wanted to be a stand-up comic, and he was doing comedy. So I forget what year it was, but he hosted a cruise. Yeah. You know, that's a trend that celebrities do. I don't think it was the Laugh Factory. It was one of his performances on the cruise. So he did stand-up during his cruise. It was when he took that iconic photo of him in the Barat Mankini. Photo was everywhere. It was from that cruise. So he did stand up and he confirmed that he made out with me. And he basically just said, I wanted to out Perez. Like he wanted to play mind games with me and like just mess with me. And that was the only reason he did it.
Was he hard? Did you get him hard when you made out with him?
Well, if we can get explicit.
Yeah, go ahead.
It wasn't very hot for me. I was so awkward and uncomfortable. Like, what is going on? And it went on for a while, for at least 5 minutes. I'm not exaggerating.
What?
5 minutes. And Jessica Simpson was with him. So she was really drunk, as was he. Maybe they were on other things. I don't think so. Maybe they were just that drunk. I don't remember what they were drinking, but it was brown. I'm never a fan of the dark liquors. I'm not a fan of brown stuff. Jessica Simpson had her hair long at the time and kept covering her face to try to not look at what was happening. But while that was going on and he was making out with me, she was rubbing him.
What?
Oh, wow,
really?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Maybe that's
it. Was all just so crazy.
So you were you were freaked out, so you don't understand what it is about John Mayer that makes everyone fall in love with him then.
Oh, I know what it is.
Oh, what is
he? He is insanely smart. But he's one of those people that he's almost too smart for his own good. He's a hyper intellectual and he's so in his own head that oftentimes he's his own worst enemy.
Yeah, the women that he dates, he seems to, I don't know if he ghosts them or he just sounds very, is it narcissistic? Yeah, I don't just I would sounded say really, so. The relationship sounded very strange. Like people were sort of afraid of him.
Well, Jessica, you know, she's front and center because she released her memoir this year. And she talked about how he made her feel insecure. Yeah. He would look down upon her and correct her on things because he is so smart. And maybe she's not the smartest. And but that's also a power play. That's, you know, a way to manipulate people and have them submit to you.
Yeah.
That's bad. I mean, that's terrible. People that do that, it's a controlling thing. Lindsay Lohan, yeah. What do you see for Lindsay Lohan? Because, you know, I know she did a reality show. It didn't work out. And I thought, there's really nothing left for her except for OnlyFans or what else can she do?
You know, she is Lindsay Lohan, and she will always have that name. There will always be some interest in her. And her brand is also more valuable overseas, which is why she lives in Dubai and has been doing a lot more work internationally. She was on The Masked Singer Australia.
Oh,
she did a little sitcom in the UK. People in other parts of the world are still fascinated by Hollywood and American culture, and she's still a name internationally. But, you know, I messaged Lindsay recently because I'm an idea man and I love helping people. That might surprise you, but I love helping people. So I messaged Lindsay because we still talk, and I said, hey, you should tweet or do a post or an Instagram story congratulating Paris Hilton on her documentary. And I bet you that would get you a lot of press.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I haven't watched it. And I'm like, you don't need to watch it to congratulate her. Just congratulate her on her documentary.
No, you're right.
Perez, so she didn't do it.
Were you, or who was first, you or TMZ?
You were, me. I was around for well over a year before TMZ even launched. I gave them the idea. My success birthed TMZ.
Wow.
Because what's awesome is the internet has changed and evolved so much, but some things remain the same in that the internet and social media, things can happen so quickly. My website blew up within a matter of just a couple of months.
Now, so you talk about the, you know, growing up or evolving. Do you regret making fun of some of these people? And, you know, it happened with Stern. He would rip on these people and then, you know, people don't like that he likes them now. TMZ is kind of the same way. You know who they don't attack because they need them later. Do you have that same feeling about people?
Absolutely. You know, I wish I could go back in time and do things differently. I would, genuinely.
But would you have the same success, though?
Yeah, I was about to say that. Not just because it's the right thing to do, but also because now I know that I would have still been successful because I am crazy and special and I have star quality, which not everybody has. You know, there are tons of people that have come in the wake of Perez Hilton. I was really the original influencer, even though Paris Hilton incorrectly is calling herself that. She wasn't. She was born an heiress, chose to become a socialite, and then transitioned to reality TV star. All of which is a much more traditional linear way to success and fame. All of my success is thanks to non-traditional media, social media. So at the time, there was a lot less competition. I would have still gotten a lot of attention just by being my loud, sassy, flamboyant, fun, fabulous, weird self. Like, look at Richard Simmons.
Yeah.
Richard Simmons built an empire without being nasty and mean and cruel and hurtful. He just did that by being himself and being so different than everybody else.
And I loved him. We love Richard.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm so different from everybody else. That's one of the things that I tell young people when I get the opportunity to speak to them. If you want to succeed in anything you do, and you don't need to be a young person, if you're somebody that's in your 30s or 40s or 50s, and you want to start a new business or do something new or different, the way to have success come to you is to really find what it is that makes you different and share that with the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, TikTok is a perfect example of that. It's such a crowded platform now. Yeah. Some people luck their way into success, like the hot girls and the hot boys that put in barely any effort and get millions of followers just because they're cute. But if you do things differently, if you share content in a special way, that will get you an audience and you will have success. Because ideas are not special. Two people right now in like somebody in America and somebody in Australia today could both have the most amazing, revolutionary, never before thought of idea at the same time, but they could both execute that idea in completely different ways. So it's not about the idea. It's about how you execute it. It's about you. You
promoting are yourself. Special.
No idea.
Yeah, see, people could have a lot of people could have the idea to smuggle gay porn back home from Spain, but you actually did it.
I did that as a teenager in high school, and I was pooping bricks coming back through immigration because I thought that I was going to get discovered and that my mom would find out and maybe would even get back to my school. I went to an all-boy Jesuit school. So it was a sacrifice that I was willing to make, though. But the most ironic part is that I bought so many videos. At the time, it was the late 90s or mid 90s. It was 95, 96. And I get home and none of the videos that I worked, that I bought worked because Europe had a different video format.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
I wasted all that money.
It was out of the box thinking, that's for sure.
You write in there too that the first guy you had sex with, and you know, you did it in the chapel and you did everything with him. And then I was wondering, have you ever had sex with a woman?
Never.
Never.
No desire, no curiosity. In fact, the thought of it, I don't know. It's just no, never.
I mean, you just hear that about gay guys that, yeah, they.
It seems like it happens once.
They wanted to, you know, I guess to make sure they're gay. But then if you think of straight people, I've never really had the desire to go nail a guy, unlike John Mayer.
Well, yeah, he's on the spectrum.
They say sexuality is fluid. It's on a spectrum. And I don't know how John Mayer identifies, but I would say he's not 100% straight, you know?
Do you regret outing some, or not, I don't know if you really outed celebrities, but you hinted very heavily at who was gay and who wasn't.
I outed them, yeah. And I definitely regret that for sure. You know, I would justify my behavior by saying, this is just what my friends and I talk about. We just, you know, I'm telling the world what I say in private. Yeah. But I realize now with age that not everything you say in private should be public. Not everything you think should be broadcast to the world.
Yeah, it's a real tricky area. You got 5.7 million followers now. We were talking about yesterday, you know, these people talk about pedophile rings, and they name names like Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks, and I don't understand how they do that and nobody sues them, but it's all on YouTube. I mean, I watched this guy interviewing somebody for an hour and a half. I didn't watch the whole thing, but he was naming all these Hollywood people and that they're pedophiles, and I just thought, this thing has like 1.5 million views. How can this be okay?
I don't get it.
I don't either.
That's the thing. There's so many things about 2020 that are wild, but I am truly shocked at how many formerly sensible people, I thought, believe in conspiracy theories. You know, and even as basic as, oh, you know, the government is lying to us about the COVID numbers of deaths. That's not the real number. There, I literally saw this comment yesterday. If somebody dies in a car crash and they had COVID, it's listed as a COVID death. I'm like, are you serious?
Oh, yeah. This is a weird year. Hey, congratulations on the book. Yeah. It's great talking to you. And the book is full of fun things, you know, to read and interesting things in your career and life. It's a whole lot better than health and wellness, Perez. Trust me.
Do that next.
But we'll do an interview with you anytime you do a health and wellness book.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the time.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
TMI, My Life in Scandal, Perez Hilton.
Oh, all you got energy, a lot to man. Say?
Yeah. All right. Let's see. I guess I better do a break because, yeah, how about Zod Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram? They're kicking off their Jeep celebration event, and it's going to be off the hook, starting with the 2020 loaded Jeep Compass as low as $155 a month.
Or I'm not dead.
The 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive as low as $249 a month.
How about that?
And then in the truck world, there's the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month.
If you're looking
for performance poured into an SUV that drives like a sports car, Dodge Durango GT 2020, $343 a month. And, of course, the Wrangler. Zot's got them. Others don't. If you want to order to your specs, you can right now. Get details and surf their inventory at dealsinthed.com. And don't forget, Dr. Yaldo's back doing the LASIK, doing the multifocal lens implants, having people throw away their contacts, their glasses, their reading glasses, all of that stuff, and giving people $1,500 off. If you'd like to do this, it's a good time because there is a discount, $1,500. Just mention the Drew and Mike show. If you're 40 and under, custom topography guided LASIK, the most precise in the world, allows you to throw your contacts and glasses away and see better than you ever could with them. If you're 45 or over, multifocal implants will have you seeing small print and everything else for as long as you live. Get a free evaluation, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. And remember, they've got a third location in Rochester, on Rochester Road, just north of M59. So that's convenient for many.
I really never thought that I would get both financial and common sense inner information from Perez Hilton. I did not think that would be the source of that. The whole idea about not everybody needs to say everything that's come, it's come out of your mouth how many times?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
Just because you can say something doesn't mean you should.
Right. I
thought it was kind of interesting, too, that he got sued for all those pictures, because I bet you, don't you bet he posted a lot of those when he wasn't really that big, and somebody just went in when he got bigger and went, you fucker, we're suing you for this.
It's different for people, though, because what happens is if Joe Blow goes ahead and he posts a picture on his Facebook page and only 13 people see it, his friends and family see it, that's it. That's all. It goes away. But if you're a person who has 6 million followers and you post that same picture, there's different rules for you.
Plus, if you draw loads on them like Perez used to do.
He has in common with his show.
I think I might piss them off.
I bet you he posted some of those early on, just not knowing. So? And then he got bigger. I mean, maybe not. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, we know that all too well.
That's interesting stuff. I bet you that book's a lot of fun to read, seriously. And Britney Spears, I just can't. This Free Britney movement to me has got to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. The idea that she has no resources to possibly pull through this, yet her own attorney seems to be saying that. I just really want to know what's going on there.
She's just dumb.
Did you know she openly kissed Madonna?
I mean, but how dumb is she?
It seems like the Amanda Bynes, it's funny with Amanda Bynes, that didn't last that long. Like, she got the help and straightened up.
She's still under, you know, she's still not really allowed to do stuff.
Yeah. No, I know. But Britney, what a mess.
I believe what he says, though, that maybe she was on ecstasy, because that is the kind of behavior.
You know.
That weird, impulsive, like, I love
you're right.
kind of thing.
Was he saying that she maybe damaged her brain by doing
it's really possible
that is
he is not the same. You're never the same quite again.
I don't know why I never considered that. I mean, I knew she was a big partier for a while, but I just figured, you know, so are a lot of people.
Yeah,
but yeah, some people do.
She
they go south
a lot, though, you know. Maybe
is that possible to time travel speed?
But she had a lot of time to do it and a lot of money and a lot of resources to, you know, indulge that way. So,
well, you know, watching all those,
maybe Federline made her dumber, though.
You know, when they did the reboot of the triumvirate, Lindsay Britney, Paris Hilton, that show on ABC, the 2020.
Oh, yeah.
And her going on those idiotic car rides all over, all day long. She'd just be driving here, driving there, really going anywhere. She just liked the paparazzi following her, which strikes me as just moronic. Why would she want? I mean,
leave Britney alone.
But you know, she did shows like what, 3-4 years ago. She had sold out shows night after night after night. She's one of the biggest earners of the year. I mean,
Drew,
to think that someone who's that gone can do that.
When Kristen and her girlfriends, this might have been, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, but when all her dance friends, when they went to this huge Britney Spears concert, it was an event. I mean, they got dressed to the nines. And, like, that's just, it was a huge deal to those girls.
But isn't it a little weird that people are paying, like, $150 to go see an idiot perform? A complete idiot.
We paid to see monkeys at the zoo. I mean,
oh, you've probably
a
seen
helpless some, person.
You've probably seen some idiots perform before.
Yes. A dunce.
Nobody that stupid. I mean, she can't do anything.
I mean, well, really, she can take, her
attorney compared her to a comatose patient. I'm not joking.
She can remember apparently dance moves and how to lip sync.
That's about all. Yeah.
Who knows how much drugs she's up though? You know, maybe if they got her off all these drugs.
Yeah.
I don't seriously. I'm really mystified and maybe. Fascinated. Maybe. Maybe. Well.
Well.
Maybe.
The VP debate last night was really interesting because a fly landed on Mike Pence's hair for 2 minutes and 3 seconds.
The fly is the internet's hero today.
It's really funny because his hair is so white.
I know. It really, the contrast was huge.
And I don't like flies.
Look at this picture. Hightower sent me. It's got the picture of the fly on Pence's head, and then you zoom in, it's that guy with the huge dong. Here, I'll put it up on the screen for everyone.
Oh, my God. That's all everybody's going to ever know going forward. They're going to always remember this debate as the fly debate or the gross
red eye.
You
saw Jeff Goldblum getting all of that traction today on Twitter, too, because people are like, he needs to play the fly on Saturday Night Live.
What a funny idea.
And he's so weird anyway, so it's funny, you know, just seeing him and...
Well, before the fly in the debate, it was his pink eye that everyone was going ape shit for.
Yeah.
I was kind of, his eye was obviously red. But, you know, I got so irritated about the fly because everyone had to say, well, flies, you're attracted to shit. I mean, it's like, I swear to God, the lowest common denominator, that was it. Yeah. Everyone who said that, it was just stunning that millions of people could say the same sort of, I mean, I guess it's an obvious joke, but.
Well, then we are capable of agreeing on something.
Yes, I guess you could say that. And as far as, you know, I kind of thought he won the debate, but I really didn't care. It was like, okay, at least it was better than the other debate. Like,
really?
It wasn't horrible.
I'd turn it off after 25 minutes because I was bored out of my mind.
Well, no, it was boring.
They wouldn't answer questions.
It was boring.
Either one would answer a question, and they would go into prepared statements. I'm like, I'm not watching this shit. It's boring.
Well, plus, they were
trying. I'd rather watch Trump yell for an hour.
They were trying so hard not to, like, you know, do the WWE that I think they were trying too hard. It stilted them.
Okay. Trudy, I go nuts when they say your time is up, and then Pence just keeps talking. Yeah, just like, well, shut up! Because, you know, I've seen a million debates where that happens, and I swear to God, I've never seen anyone in the like, 20 seconds extra they weasel say anything that was memorable or mattered, except for the fact that they went too long and they were obnoxious.
Right, well, yeah.
He was obnoxious. He was going along, and they were telling him shut up, and he wouldn't. I mean, not in a Trump way, but in a different way. And he didn't do it that many times, but enough times it was like, come on, dude.
But it's funny because people are just going to view it from whatever side they're on, because I saw a lot of people say that Kamala Harris saying, I'm speaking, was obnoxious. And he was trying to talk over her. Like, they were annoyed at that.
He didn't really talk over her, did he?
Well, there were a few times when she said, I'm speaking, or it's my turn, something like to that effect. And that's just in the first, you know, half hour.
There was one pretty major interruption that Pence made. I thought it was a good interruption, but I don't remember what it was. As far as Kamala Harris, I thought the thing that stuck with me was the faces she was making. Because she just seemed like, oh my God, how ridiculous. And it reminded me of, remember when Al Gore did that? Wasn't Al Gore going, or something? wasn't that the debate against Bush?
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure Al Gore got busted for really screwing up in a debate because he was going crazy on his side of the camera.
Are you cereal?
While Bush was talking. But, I mean, she didn't make any crazy, crazy faces. She was very demonstrative, and maybe that's good. I don't know. I'm not a debate expert. But I thought this whole thing about, this is dumb. This thing about taking a vaccine. And I think it's an obvious way to attack her is to say, we get people that you say won't take vaccines, and you do the same thing. You egg them on. And she goes, oh, well, if Dr. Fauci or somebody says it, but if Trump tells me to take a vaccine, I'm not taking it. What is she suggesting? That Trump has a factory coming up with a vaccine and that he's going to just put it on the market and it's not going to be vetted by anyone? I mean, isn't that a bit far-fetched?
I kind of saw what she was saying, but I know, what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, that's really far. I don't think that's even reasonable. It's just a shot at Trump. And that's okay. I mean, if she gets points from it, maybe she does. I don't know. I just see it as just being paranoid because Trump is not going to have a vaccine. That's not.
Does it help when Pence, didn't he say that we started developing a vaccine in February? It's like, well, you didn't start developing it. Moderna did in January. So, look, it's all political bullshit, Drew.
No, I agree. I just think it's saying you won't take a vaccine that Trump comes up with is just it. I don't know what the point is.
I trust the private industries to do it the right way.
Okay.
I do.
I do. I have to say, I'll take a vaccine. I've never.
Go first.
I've taken flu shots. I'll be the first in line.
Okay.
Happy to.
Yeah, I know people. I didn't realize people refuse to take flu shots. What?
Well, if you want Gates' microchip in you.
I don't. He can have his microchip in me. But the fuck is Bill Gates going to find out with his microchip inside me?
He's going to see that you go to 7-Eleven.
You already have a microchip on your cell phone. Yeah. I mean, they can track you anywhere.
What is Bill? Seriously, I'm happy to swallow a Bill Gates microchip if it will keep me healthy.
Yeah, maybe get better reception down here too.
Maybe that's a benefit.
But Brandon has a point. We do have chips that are nearly in us because they're our phones.
That's solving so many crimes that way.
Yeah.
By the way, this was just I don't know why this made me laugh so hard. Eric Trump tweeted that Pence is absolutely crushing this debate. Which is like, oh God, Eric Trump, get a life.
Fun fact, Eric Trump was a celebrity judge on Miss USA 2009, the same year Perez Hilton was.
Whoa.
When he,
interesting.
When he went after Carrie Prejean.
Yes. That was pretty brutal. Anyway, he says, Pence is absolutely crushing this debate. And Dick Marks retweets Eric Trump and says, your dad wants to fuck your sister.
Jesus.
Dick Marks does he need a Zanny?
What a fucking asshole he is. And I swear, all of his asshole comebacks are about fucking your mother. Usually. Well, have you noticed that? They're all about, I fucked your mother yesterday. Or,
Nice comeback!
Well, all his biggest hits were from the 80s, so maybe so are his comebacks, I guess.
That one really got around. A lot of people were talking about that.
Wow.
Now, today, this is...
Two more things real quick. Just real quick on the Mike Pence fly. He does have his own Twitter that has 116,000 followers, by the way.
Why are people
It's still
this?
Gaining followers because it was at 113 a couple hours ago.
What does it do? Just retweet?
No, it's totally stupid.
Doesn't the fly have different... different accounts? Like there are all kinds of different accounts in the fly's name?
That's right.
The
it's
fly's
just Mike,
name.
Mike Pence's fly is the Twitter account if you really want to follow
him. Yeah, and there's a couple underscores.
I want to follow him now.
And it's actually a Halloween costume already. Within less than 24 hours, you can get a Halloween Mike Pence fly wig.
That's terrible. That wig looks nothing like Pence's hair.
It doesn't. No. That's terrible.
It's like just find whatever white wig we have.
Wait, who's putting that on? I want to call them. Who's putting that up?
Threewishes.com, is that right? Yeah, I'll find it.
Can we find a phone number for them? Because that's bullshit. I'm glad they got out in a hurry, but can they fix the fucking hair? That's terrible. That looks like Simon Le Bon's hair or something. Doesn't look like Mike Pence.
Simon Le Bon. He's grateful that he got brought up today.
Well, Duran, they're still out there. Duran. I still kind of like Duran.
Hey, by the way,
I've had a reawakening with Duran.
Oh, have you?
I don't know why, but I have. Well, I know why.
We should get that old interview then out when he was in the studio. Which one was it? forget all their names.
I'm going to guess his last name is Taylor.
Yeah, it was
John
one of
Taylor.
Those.
Yeah, yeah. The bass
three of them are Taylors.
This is off track, but Squeeze has one of the very first concerts at O2. In London. They have booked a band for that.
And, Squeeze?
And they're making a big deal today about, there's going to be a concert in December. It's going to be the first socially distanced at the O2 Arena, which is where...
And it's Squeeze?
I gotta squeeze my vibe!
And it's Squeeze.
Oh, how cool. I
so trying to keep
Squeeze.
Attendance down.
It'll really low.
But by the way, I don't know what that holds, but could Squeeze sell that out in the UK? Maybe they could. Gary said their show at... Royal Oak Music Theater was one of the best shows he'd seen in a long time. I know he really loved that show, and they are.
I want to squeeze them.
It holds
really
20,000, so.
But every sixth seat, that's like 3,000 or something.
Oh, well, that's a good gift for them.
It holds 22,000.
There were signs, Trump signs, lined with razor blades.
I saw that. That's
in awful. Commerce Township. And somebody, a worker, actually sliced up his hand removing the sign because it was incorrectly placed in the right-of-way. I don't even know what that means, but he had to get 13 stitches.
Yeah, someone took it out and then put it back in, and they put the razor blade on the bottom part because if you ever pick up one of those signs,
yeah, right.
You pick it up from the bottom.
Well, that's really fucking dumb. I mean, how stupid. God, we are the United States of assholes. We really, really are. And there's just, I mean, honest to God, how stupid is that? Over a sign? To, you know, you could really fuck somebody up. This guy's hand looked bad. And I bet you those stitches hurt like hell, too, in his fingers.
Oh, boy, yeah. A lot of nerves.
So,
is that fly. The little finger, isn't it?
The fly wig?
Company,
yeah, I do. Hall Financial Hotline is opening up, by the way. So, you might want to consider refining with Hall Financial.
Hello,
call 248.
Thank you for calling. Three wishes.
Go ahead.
308-5000 or go to davidhallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike. And 19 days is their average. They are quick at Hall Financial with the refis. And, of course, Hall Financial Service is the fastest in business. Get your mortgage in half the time of their competitors with Hall Financial.
Company directory.
NMLS number 1467435. Hello? Yo. Yo.
See if that did the trick.
Thank you for calling support. We are currently closed.
What?
At the tone, please leave a message. When
wait,
you finish
you
recording,
open.
You may hang up or press the pound key for more options.
Why would they be in overtime making
they should be
the
open
fly.
24 hours. The fly just happened.
They always used to say I wore a hairpiece.
They have to perfect that wig.
Message, press 1.
Wait,
to
what?
Erase and re-record,
we left a message?
2.
I was trying to get to the operator. Here you go.
Thank you for calling support. We are currently closed. At the tone, please leave a message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press the pound key for more options.
Okay, first of all, you should be open 24 hours because you just came out with this thing. And if you're taking advantage of it, why are you shutting down so early? But second of all, the wig is terrible. It's not. First of all, the fly isn't even on the same spot on the head. And second of all, that hair, Mike Pence doesn't look like that. It's not even close. It looks like a member of Duran Duran, I would say. So fix the fucking wig. That's bullshit. Jesus Christ.
Have a nice day.
Bye.
See their tiger.
I don't like flies.
Their Tiger King line.
No, no. Tiger King's so over.
I know. It's funny. I saw
another
something
number for this company too. I'll let you know.
It's total bullshit. I can't believe how bad that wig is. What? That wouldn't even be that hard to do, would it?
3wishes.com. Please press 1 if you would like to place an order or speak with someone in customer service.
Is this going to be the same one?
Thank you for calling support.
Ah, it's the same one.
You wish. Okay.
Who gets their costumes from this company?
One more thing today on the presidential race. There's a story about Karen McDougal today, who was the Playboy centerfold.
Yep.
Who came in studio and was just a total knockout. She's still a knockout. Anyway, the story is about how, well, there's a few things. It's, is it Carrie, what's her name? She's a friend of Karen McDougal's, a former friend probably, and she's spilling all this stuff about their relationship. She's saying it went on longer than Karen admits. And she says that Trump used to show her Melania's modeling photos after they had sex in his bed.
Ugh.
In the condo, which is like, why would anybody stay with somebody who's showing them modeling photos after sex, really? In refractive mode, I guess it wouldn't be as painful.
Yeah.
But,
true.
I mean, what the? First of all, I don't know if I believe, you know, you never know what to believe or not to believe. It sounds believable. I mean, because if you're going to believe half the other stuff that people would have you believe, maybe it's true. But the crazy part of the story is that she was dating Bruce Willis at the same time she was seeing Trump.
Oh.
And it sounds to me like she was seeing Trump for a while, and she was in love with him, and she thought something was going to
work
out.
Right.
And then she got like bored or disappointed or something, so she started seeing Bruce Willis on the side. She didn't tell him. So
wrong.
She goes to Italy with Bruce Willis.
So Trump got, what was his sloppy seconds?
Bruce Willis got Trump sloppy seconds, and then Trump got Bruce Willis. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Anyway, somehow they were photographed in Italy, Bruce Willis and Karen McDougal. Boy, it sounds like she sure had a nice little trip through her 20s.
Yeah, good for her.
And the picture shows them in Italy. Oh, Bruce Willis with Playboy Centerfold. Well, Trump sees it, and Trump immediately ghosts her. Just ghosts her. She gets back, and the next thing she knows, it's sort of like the Charlie Sheen thing where the assistant is leaving the message for the girl that your stuff is outside the house. It's outside the gate. It's in a bag. It's a big garbage bag. All her shit was returned to her because Willis found out about Trump, I guess. I don't know what happened. But Willis and Trump ghosted her at the same very moment.
Simultaneously?
Yeah, simultaneously. Wow.
Didn't she take
Hi, Ursula. This is Lisa Davis, Charlie's assistant. I found your jacket, what I believe to be your jacket, and I'm leaving it in a trash bag outside of the gate of his house. If you'd like to pick it up, he is actually out of town, but I know you need this back, and it's a big deal, and et cetera, and I don't want to cause you any harm in not having a jacket. So I will leave it outside the gate. It's in a bag. It has your name on it. You know, it's a safe driveway. Nobody will take it. We've several things out there before it be picked up. So, before it's out there, it's in this silvery kind of glad trash bag, and it has a sticker on it that says your name.
We know what a trash bag looks like.
It's going to be good for you, and take care. Bye.
That's right.
How about the one where she calls Charlie, the girl that keeps calling Charlie, and she has to call her to tell her that Charlie has a girlfriend now, and he really doesn't like it when you call.
Ursula, this is Lisa, Charlie's assistant, calling to let you know that he is actually filming a movie right now and would prefer that you not continue to call him. He has a girlfriend, and when you leave messages on the machine, they're often overheard. And that is quite worrisome and bothersome to him. He will choose, if he so does choose to call you, he will. And if not, he would just sort of prefer that you leave the relationship where it is. And he has been getting your messages, and when he wants to call you,
sorry if I offended you.
I hope all is well. Thank you. Bye.
Hope all is well. Oh. She is the mistress of the Velvet Glove kiss-off, basically.
No. Wow. I wonder what happened to that assistant, like what kind of career she went on to.
I think she's a great assistant.
Yeah.
She gets the job done. I love the way she says, I know how important your coat is, and it's, you know, you got to have it because you'll be cold because it's your only fucking coat. So, yeah, it's, you know.
I like that she described what a trash bag looks like with a coat in it. In case she picked up the wrong trash bag. What did she did? She grabbed his garbage.
It's got tape with your name on it. Next to it's right next to Alicia's bag, and then your bag is on the right. It's got your name on it.
She made sure to tell her that happened before.
It's probably better than just tossing the coat out in the driveway.
It's very thoughtful.
No, it's a system. She says, we've done this before. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
Hey, I'm looking for the trash can.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
So, yeah, Karen McDougal. Oh, boy.
Didn't Karen McDougal go on to get pregnant by that horrible fat guy?
Which horrible fat guy?
Like, rich dude?
I don't know.
I didn't know she probably seems like she would have a kid, but let's see. Karen McDougal.
I just remember having her in studio.
I think she got married.
He was cheating on his wife, I think.
Mm. Oh, my. Karen. She's a good Michigan girl. What happened to Karen?
It's funny because, like, on Wikipedia, she's got this, you know, all these different sections in your Wikipedia, whether it's your early life and here I am fitness modeling. And
it's
personal life is, you know, it's a couple paragraphs. Affair with Donald Trump is like a book.
He's the president, of course.
Let's see. She's a Simpson.
I bet you it's longer on Stormy's page.
Although she's a swimsuit model, she's not a proficient swimmer because of her aquaphobia.
Oh, my God.
She's an animal lover known two cats, Brittany and Brandy. She has two tattoos. One's a tattoo of a cat on the second toe of her right foot to honor her cats. The others have a cross behind her right ear as a reminder of her spirituality. Oh, can she see that? I don't think so. Doesn't remind her of her spirituality. Family members initially did not support her decision to pose for Playboy. Eventually embraced the fact. Her mother appeared in interview segments of her Playmate of the Year video centerfold as a sign of support. That is so beautiful. Oh my God, that affair with Donald Trump is forever, Brandon. You're right. That's crazy.
Who dated who?
I don't see anything about her having kids, though.
It was Elliot Broidy.
Hmm.
The guy, the rich dude.
And they have a kid?
I think she was at one point supposedly pregnant, or and he was like, get rid of it.
She's got a pretty weak who's dated who, actually.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That
who's her who's dated who, Brandon?
R.J. Williams, Bruce Willis, and Donald Trump. That's it.
Yeah.
That's pretty weak for her.
According to who's dated who, she hasn't had any hog in the last 13 years.
I bet she's seeing somebody.
Of course.
Well, okay. You referred earlier to the story about the guy, the FBI had a shootout at Texas Roadhouse in Madison Heights, which is like, what? I mean, that's a big story. And this guy, Eric Alport, he lived in Madison Heights, and he's a boogaloo dude.
Boy,
yeah.
Yeah, B-O-I. And agents were executing an arrest warrant for a federal weapons offense in the parking lot of Texas Roadhouse. An FBI agent was wounded, so I assume they exchanged fire.
Mm-hmm.
Alport was born in Michigan, but his family moved to rural Idaho, lived near Ruby Ridge. They were neighbors with Randy Weaver, as you mentioned. They shared a menstrual shed. Eric was, I love just saying that like it's totally normal.
Maybe it should be.
Eric was friends with Randy Weaver's kids. Eric's parents were white supremacists who seemed to like guns a lot. Mm. 10 years later, Eric's 25, and officers followed him as he made he left a drug house. They pulled him over. There was an arrest warrant for him. They tried to take him into custody. He pulled a semi-automatic gun out of his waistband and fired a shot before they were able to subdue him.
Apparently, he was really high, too.
Yeah, that was all the girl said. It was a female police captain. Yeah. He was super high.
Yeah.
So he also got his hand on the officer's gun. It was a real messy thing. He tried to discharge his weapon again, but it malfunctioned, and he was convicted of it. And she said in that story, she said, yeah, I was going to shoot him. I couldn't get a good, a bead on him without hitting her partner, I guess. He was convicted of additional charges, receiving stolen property, aggravated assault, and concealed weapons. 25 years. I always thought, call me
crazy. Great guy.
I thought if you shot at a policeman or policewoman, that you probably were going away for a long time. Shooting a gun it doesn't seem like a big deal anymore. I hate to say that, but anyway, he was out in 11 years, and he moved to Michigan, where, of course, he was on parole, and I guess he was his parole agent or his parole officer said he was a good boy for a while. He started dog training business.
Yeah, his own business.
He had learned that in prison, and he had a child on the way in a month, 43 years old. And I don't know what happened, but apparently, first of all, he's carrying a weapon, which he's not allowed to.
Yeah.
But that seems so obvious, though. I mean, wouldn't you just know? Isn't that lowest hanging fruit possible? The idea that this guy might have a weapon. It seems like if you want to arrest Eric Alport, you could have done it any day of any year. Yeah, no, I don't know what they had. They had an arrest warrant, and I don't know what it was for. If it was for the weapon or not. But, I know what amused me at the Mike Dunn thing we were watching. The Boogaloo Boy. I guess he's the head of the Boogaloo Boys. At the end, he said, Sic Semper Tyrannis.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. John Wilkes.
He did, yeah, John Wilkes
Booth. How neat.
I for some reason, after he said it, I was like, wait, did he say Sic Semper Tyrannis, or did he say Excelsior?
Who used to say that?
Mark Scott.
Oh, that's right. That's so cool.
As much fun as Mike and I used to make of that, we remember it like hell. I still remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Excelsior!
Well, people also remember Starlight, Star Bright.
Yes, they do.
Remember all those things.
Alan Allman. And another crazy local story. They arrested some robocallers.
They were
telling people in certain area codes.
You know who these two are, too.
Who are they?
Jacob Wall and that Jack Bergman. They're the notorious, they make up all those. They're the guys that claimed Pete Buttigieg was assaulted somebody. They claim that Robert Mueller had an affair, and they staged these big press conferences. They were in that documentary you watched. He's the guy that says, that bus right there, that's a George Soros bus.
Yeah, they look familiar.
They throw a bunch of shit
on
the wall,
familiar.
The shit starters.
So what are they getting out of this? I don't even understand why they do this.
Fuck up the election, I guess. I don't know.
For what reason? I mean, seriously, what does this do for them?
Attention?
I mean, it doesn't make them any money. It doesn't. They just
I don't know how they make
so important that Trump's elected.
Probably.
I mean, is it possible? I feel like this country has just lost its collective fucking mind. And I'll give you proof of that in a second. Anyway, they were telling people in certain area codes, in the robocalls, in minority areas, including 313, that their mail-in votes would put their personal info into a database that would allow credit card companies to track them down. So they were arrested, and they faced 24 years in prison.
Why do people really, really, really hate mail-in voting when it's a lot easier than waiting in line somewhere?
More fraud.
I mean,
that's
I
all you ever hear is more
well,
fraud.
We rely on the post office for everything else in this world. Why can't we rely on them for
people send
not even the post office. You can drop it off at the box yourself.
People send checks in the mail. They do all kinds of things with the mail.
I don't know. I just feel like people are so out of their fucking minds right now. And there was a poll that really sort of indicated that. Let's see. Oh, by the way, this last night could have been the last debate. I hope to God it is. In fact, I said this morning. I said, you know, if Trump doesn't speak another word, don't you think it would help him? He didn't say another word. If he literally went into bed and just, you know,
wrong,
and took it easy for the last.
I think people will wonder what's wrong with him. Then they'll probably think he's dying. Because
well, I mean, if they didn't focus on the fact that he didn't say another word, if they just showed old clips of him saying very generic things, you know, or
he would blow up.
Yeah,
I know he would. Not. But I'm just saying, if he didn't say another word, I think he would do better. Because it doesn't matter what he says, there's always something wrong with it or some aspect of it. Or I mean, it's – but that's not even what I was going to get to. The because I was delighted to see this. The Commission on Debates says that coronavirus is so dangerous that we need to do the next debate virtual. And Trump said, no thanks. And I think he said that we'll do some events. Fuck this. We'll do other stuff. Well, in other words, like he would do – speaking tours or
what
something
about
instead
all those
of a debate.
Undecided people like Ken Bone. Should we try Ken Bone?
Oh.
I don't know. He's such a. What the fuck is wrong with him?
He's an asshole.
Yeah, if anybody missed it late in yesterday's show, Ken Bone got very angry with us.
Should we call his grandmother back? And tell her what? Tell on him? We could tell on him. Everybody loves people telling on people now. Why don't we tell on him?
I'd have to find her number again. I don't know if I saved that one.
I don't like bailing out of debates, though. At least have it. I mean, even if it is going to be virtual.
We could call her and apologize and then tell on him for swearing.
He bailed on it because he said that they would have the ability to mute.
Yeah.
He doesn't want anybody to have that ability.
That would help him. Honestly, if they muted him, if they had muted him until it was his turn, it would have helped him, in my opinion, because Biden, I think you want to let him go. Let him talk.
But it'd be weird because he knows he'll be on that split screen just going.
Right.
That'd be funny.
Just stick. Well, no, I think we'd find it funny, but it would look like an unhinged man yelling at clouds with no audio coming out.
Just be like the making faces or whatever. I mean, honestly, if there's no debates, I don't see, you know, in a way that helps Trump because he mucked up the last debate so badly. But in another way, he's the one that needs to move. He's the one who's behind. He needs the debates. I don't see how he's in a position where he can say, fuck the debates. I'll just go make speeches. How does that help him?
Because he gets off on it.
I guess so.
I'm surprised he backed out so fast, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that right there almost gives Biden a victory of sorts.
I think it's Trump snubbing his nose at the idea that it's unsafe to have a debate.
That's fine. Then he should have said, hey, why don't we just back it up a week or so?
Yeah, but he's got Regeneron now.
He's cured.
What is the drug?
It's Regeneron, isn't that?
Regeneron.
I don't know. I heard Nancy Pelosi is considering the 25th Amendment because he's out of control due to the drugs.
Take over control?
Yes.
Strip him of his powers?
He is incapacitated.
He was close today to saying that everybody in the United States should get some Regeneron. Maybe you could make that happen.
It sounds good to me.
Let's buy us all a hit.
I'm all open to having it in the having it in the rotation.
It's all just dabs.
Or having it in the bullpen.
Let's
who knows?
Dab Regeneron.
Yeah, brother.
And that cool steroid that he was using.
Yeah, Dex pack.
Yeah, Dexy.
I'd rather have that than Regeneron.
Acetaminophen then.
So did you see that Eddie Van Halen's wife had a post, finally. She...
on Instagram, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was the kind of post you would expect. Did I leave that upstairs? I mean, it was basically that, you know, we were crazy in love and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't get a whole lot of feedback about the Valerie Bertinelli post. So I guess it's just totally normal to just go in there and, you know, knock the wife out of the way and just... be with your first husband or whatever. I thought that was just, I thought it was so weird. I thought the post was bizarre, but maybe
the biggest thing I took away from the Janie Van Halen or whatever her name is. Her post to Eddie was how she signed it off. Did you notice that?
How did she sign it off?
Well, I mentioned the post yesterday, but we didn't read the whole thing. I have it up on the screen if you wanted to go through it, but she
fuck you.
Her love.
What she said?
She ends it with, "Love your poopy."
Gross.
P-O-O-P-E-E, poopy. So that was.
She's his poopy.
Are we supposed to believe that those are his legs in that picture?
Yeah.
It's got a shot of two sets of legs looking at the ocean, but I don't think those are Eddie's legs. I think she got some dude to pose just to stick it to Valerie.
Poopy. Did you see what's his face? Broke his silence too, Hager.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was on Stern.
With Michael. Oh, he's on Stern today?
I thought that's what I read.
No shit.
Yeah, that they had been
texting
back and forth, but they didn't want anybody to know about it because they wanted to avoid all the noise. And then Sammy said about a month ago he didn't reply as often, and then he stopped replying totally, and he just figured, okay, just a matter of time now.
But they had made their peace with each other, and it was a love fest. So that was cool.
They shared a tribute video to Michael Anthony and Sammy Hagar.
Yeah, I saw that. You want to play that?
I can't imagine being mad at Sammy for very long.
No, it seems strange, too. He seems like a good guy.
We just walked off stage from Catalina concert on the beach, something we've been planning for months.
Birthday bash for Sam. Couldn't do it in Cabo this year because of COVID. So I'm doing it here for everyone.
It was great. After not seeing these guys and playing together for eight months. But the craziest part of the whole thing was that here we are. The circle where we play Montrose, Chickenfoot, early Sammy. We play Van Halen. We play Led Zeppelin, right? And after the unfortunate thing that happened with Eddie Van Halen yesterday, which was, for Mike and I, was just like getting hit by a freaking Mack truck. Ooh, kind of took the wind out of the sails for this sailing.
For being such a occasion that we wanted to promote here, it made it very bittersweet.
I just want to say that I'm kind of devastated. Thank God we get to do it again tomorrow. I tell you, a Van Halen song never felt so hard to sing and play in my life.
It was hard.
It was.
It's very surreal right now, and it hasn't sunk in yet.
Well, what I felt playing, especially a song like Right Now that's so timeless, that I felt, wow, thank God for this. You know what I mean? It's like, we'll never play with Eddie again, but thank God for this.
We have the music.
The music will live forever.
I mean, and if nothing else.
I'll sing it as long as I live.
We love you, Eddie.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I wish I'd heard him on Stern, but fortunately they repeat everything on Stern 19 times over the weekend, so I'm sure we'll catch
it. Yeah, I don't know how long he was on or what else he said, but that was the gist of the article.
Son of a bitch.
Did you guys just see the mugshots of the the guys from saw them up on the kidnapping plot. Yeah,
oh, can you scroll them? I did see a couple of them. They look about like I thought they would.
Adam Fox has a Hitler mustache.
They had a raid at a mobile home, too. That was one of the raids.
And a lot of them participated in the protest at the Capitol building.
Yeah.
Were they mad? Yeah, I'm a writer. I want
And the was one guy, there? Did you see all the social media I sent you that the one guy was posting?
What was he posting?
He had a lot of memes. He was
it was pretty intense. very intense.
Pro Rittenhouse.
Yeah. Well, Kyle Rittenhouse, I think he's had millions raised on his behalf.
Sure.
Say the men charged today were formulating their plan and focusing Hitler on mustache. The governor's vacation home in northern Michigan. Here's security expert Ned Timmons.
I think it's concerning that they went
that guy's a security expert. His connections that terrible?
Vacation home. And most likely surveilled it.
Unlike the governor's residence in Lansing, her vacation home in northern Michigan doesn't have the level of security already in place, which is why the property was under surveillance by these groups.
These guys, if they know where her home is, they can show up in the middle of the night, and it just takes seconds to drive up and start unloading clips into that house.
Well, we've known for years about the Michigan militia, but as these groups grow and recruit, they sometimes take on new names and a more direct focus.
Announce the following preliminary charges pursuant to the Michigan Anti-Terrorism Act against 7 individuals, all of whom are now in custody, linked to the militia group Wolverine Watchmen, and associates of Wolverine Watchmen.
Here's what we know about those being investigated and who was charged today. William Null, seen here in a mugshot, and also seen here in this video at the Capitol
hair.
In Lansing. Another facing charges, Michael Null. Eric Molitor is also charged and being investigated as this moves forward. Adam Fox is 34. He's from Grand Rapids. Investigators say Fox held meetings at a business in Grand Rapids.
Nice business.
The focus of those meetings, the plot to get Whitmer.
Yeah, is it an Amway
Aquinas
business?
College
it wasn't. Is he a multi-level marketer? Ty Gordon is in his basement?
The business was a vacuum repair shop. He did not own it. He was living there.
Yeah.
24. Oh, okay. He's from Heartland. His home was raided Wednesday night. He, too, does not have a criminal history. Caleb Franks is from Waterford. Oh, he's now charged and also does not have a criminal past. Daniel Harris is 23, and he calls Lake Orion home. Brian Caserta is 32 from Canton. Again, no criminal history. Paul Beller is 21 from Brighton. Again, no run-ins with the
law. Is he black?
Wait, why's he got a silhouette picture?
Oh, I thought he was black.
38 from Belleville, and like the others, never had a run-in with law enforcement until this investigation unfolded.
Well,
one of those guys looks like he'd say, "Your mom goes to college."
He does look like Kip. Yeah. The guy looked like Kip.
Something tells me that would not have been a successful kidnapping. I don't know why.
I guess you could say things are getting pretty serious.
Do you think Gretchen would have,
beat the snot out
of him?
You know, reading the comments, I just got so disgusted. I'm like, I can't keep reading these. But I did happen to stumble onto a few that people were suggesting that they would regret kidnapping Gretchen Whitmer because she's so unpleasant to be around.
You can say that again.
People such assholes. Oh, my God. And then, of course, people were calling them Trump voters, and then Trump people were coming back with, no, because of blah, blah, blah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Don't you have anything better to do? Really?
No, everybody's got to fight everybody.
I know. It's just fucking crazy. That's why I was so being such a cynical bastard when Mark Ruffalo was saying, when you vote, it's a vote between love and compassion and empathy and hate and divisiveness.
That's pretty cool, I guess.
So, in other words, if the person that he wants to vote for wins, it'll be all love and compassion and empathy. We're all going to hold hands and sing All You Need Is Love.
Cool.
I don't know why I don't believe that.
You're immune to his handsomeness.
Oh, that reminds me of the survey today, which, oh, God, this is just weird. 47% disagree with the idea that the election will be fair and honest. 47%. 51% won't generally agree on who is the legitimately elected, say that we will not generally agree on who is the legitimately elected president. 56% expect an increase in violence after the election. And a majority believe we're on the verge of a second civil war.
I might be in that category.
A civil war?
I don't want one.
Well, you better arm yourself.
Yeah.
A second. What is a civil? Can I ask, what would a civil war be in this country now? Because I guess I'm really confused.
I mean, probably street fights.
Street fights?
Yeah, I would think.
So it'll be like old-fashioned civil war.
But I think it would be what's kind of going on now.
We just have certain states secede from the Union.
That's one thing.
I mean, isn't that how a civil war starts? Isn't that how it starts?
Have a second set of United States?
Yeah, just have them secede. And then this time, let's just let the Union say, all right, forget it. Get out of here, Florida.
Florida be the first to go.
I don't know. I've just never been a fan of Florida in general.
Yeah, but Disney World's there.
Well, you can still go visit. It'll just be a different country. You'll have to get a passport.
That's inconvenient.
There was another story today, too, and I don't think we've talked about this, that Bloomberg and people are paying off felons' fines in Florida so they can vote?
Yeah.
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 That's the let's see.
Do you know the whole story
behind
that?
That's the squirreliest thing I've heard about anything.
So the voters of Florida...
Do you know the story?
I know the story.
They voted to change the law there to allow... you know, if you were convicted of a felon and you had served your penalty, is the quote, then you could vote.
Right.
A lot of states actually, I think some, or not a lot, I don't know how many states do, but some states do it. So that
it
passed.
It was the will of the people then.
That passed. Right. Then a Republican, and I really don't have a problem with him putting this forward, said, though, you know, part of your sentence is paying off the fine, which is fine. I actually agree with that.
Yeah, for when you are sentenced, you frequently will get, you know, for example, if you embezzle money from someone,
sure,
will have to pay that off.
Here's the problem.
But they make voting contingent on you doing that.
Here's the problem. A lot of these former felons can't figure out how much they owe because the state cannot tell them.
I honestly
so
wonder,
if you do vote and you still owe money, then it's another felony, and then you can't do it. So.
I'm not in favor of felons voting anyway. I feel like are you in favor of felons voting?
Sure, why not? The law affects them too.
What if they? I mean, well, that like Bundy, if he were still alive. But what if you've paid your dues and you did your time?
Yeah.
And you maybe
I guess,
maybe
but,
it was something no, that wasn't like murder or
most people don't pay their dues though. I mean, they just get out and you know. I mean,
the court lets them out. I mean, so
well, if Mike Bloomberg pays everyone off, then I guess it's no big deal.
Well, I mean, we don't let kids vote because we don't trust their judgment. Do we trust the judgment of a felon? I don't.
I'm wondering how many of these felons are really pumped to vote anyway.
You had to see that story. What was that story? 60 Minutes?
Oh, my God. I got to get this paid off. Fuck.
Is that on 60 Minutes, Mark?
What 60 Minutes did do a big piece on.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's stupid for someone to pay off their fines so that they can vote because they believe they'll vote for their candidate. That just doesn't feel right to me.
I feel like it is kind of buying it, too, because you think that, you know, if Bloomberg goes ahead and he pays off 10,000, I'm pretty, you know, and all 10,000 of those people vote. How many do you think are going to go one way, and how many do you think are going to go the other?
Well,
it's
I'm assuming
pretty much you buying the vote.
I'm assuming that
sense.
Bloomberg
but everybody
assumes
should be allowed
that they'll
to
all
vote.
They'll all vote for Biden.
It's redemption. Well, I mean, you don't believe in that?
Shouldn't more people be able to
not
vote?
If some not if Bloomberg's paying off their fine. I don't think that's right.
Does it prevent certain felons? Like if you're, you know, I mean, if you're a really really bad person, you can still vote. Type of thing.
If you serve the penalty that the court applied to you, yeah.
I don't know. I think we kiss criminals' asses way too much. And I was watching that 60 Minutes on Lori Vallow, and they were saying she faces 20 years in prison or something. What? Are you fucking kidding me?
That has nothing to do with her voting if she gets out after.
No, but I'm just saying. And this business of, you know, you have to be allowed to wear your hijab for the picture, or you have to be able to get your Muslim food, or you have to be able to get your whatever your religion is food in prison. It's like if you murder somebody or you commit a crime that puts you in prison, I don't think you're really thinking about your religion that much.
But most of those felonies too aren't murder.
No, I know they're not. If you're in prison,
a very small percentage of the family. I mean, they listed a whole.
If you are in prison, though, you have to do something pretty fucked up.
Well,
I can show you a lot of people who have never been in prison who have done a lot of bad shit.
What if it's a guy who goes into prison for having marijuana?
Or moving
back when it was illegal.
Turtle eggs. which that was, I think that was one of the examples they used in the 60 Minutes story.
Turtling.
Everybody hears felony and they think immediately that they think murder or some major crime spree, but that's not always the case.
Well, I think to say that Mike Bloomberg's going to pay off one state, he obviously feels that they're going to vote one way, or he wouldn't do that.
Sure.
So it just, well, that, it just, then it just somebody doesn't would feel
say
right
that, someone would say that's the reason that Republican representative put that bill forward.
To keep them from voting.
After the people in Florida voted for that, they probably didn't think of that aspect.
Well, how many states have felons voting? Let me look it up. I'll Google it. 1%. They want felons to be able to run for city council and mayor in Detroit. In fact, they do run. There's a guy that was convicted of murder who ran, I believe, for mayor. I mean, he didn't win, but
really,
yeah.
Huh? What would his campaign commercial look like?
I think he did interviews too. I mean, he seemed like a pretty good guy, honestly. I mean,
there you go.
And there's also this thing of, and maybe the Bloomberg thing might be a rub from all these people pouring money into these bond funds. So these people who are, you know, really committing crimes can just bond out and the police have to deal with them all over again the next night and the next night and the next night. I think that's bullshit.
Here's your answer. In D.C., Maine, and Vermont, felons never lose their right to vote, even when incarcerated. 16 states, felons lose their voting rights only while incarcerated. And receive automatic restoration upon release. In 21 states, felons lose their voting rights during incarceration for a period of time afterwards, typically while on parole.
Okay, I'm completely lost. How many states can felons vote?
50 minus 11.
Okay. 39?
Mm-hmm.
And some can vote while they're in prison?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Can felons vote in Michigan?
Let me see where Michigan falls.
Well, they should repeal the law is what they should do.
Michigan says lost only while incarcerated, automatic restoration after release. But I thought I know...
How do they?
I thought I've spoken with felons who cannot vote.
I don't know why I thought felons couldn't vote. Do they have to do something to restore it in Michigan, Brandon?
It says it's automatically restored.
Huh.
Maybe they have to go. Maybe they just think they can't.
Yeah, that could be it.
Maybe they have to go. And
they don't
want
to go to any office or anything like that. They're staying low.
Yeah, I'm not sure how big the felon vote really is.
It's really not that much. I would say Michigan, where 11,000 people changed the presidency, it's, you know.
If bonding out complete strangers is, to me, and fucking insane. I don't like that at all. But it's not the same thing as paying these felons fines off.
That's buying votes, if you ask me. Because if you're if you're gonna put the money up, you're gonna expect them to. I just don't see too many people. I don't see him doing it if all 10,000 are gonna vote for Donald Trump. You know what I mean?
Once again, would the Republican legislature in the state of Florida would they have passed that bill if they didn't think?
Well,
it
they should
stop,
repeal it. If they should repeal the bill.
What do you mean?
They should get the bill repealed.
Okay. Well, they did have a state referendum.
This is just another shitty way of doing the same thing. Saying, I'm a billionaire, I'll pay it all off so the bill doesn't matter.
It's
so you're circumventing the law, essentially.
Bullshit.
I mean, it's typical of, it's sort of like packing the Supreme Court. We'll just create two more justices and then, Bloomberg will just pay it up.
We'll just pass
the law that you have to pay off your fines, and you don't know what your fucking fines are.
It's all
bullshit.
Did they? Was that actually a law, or was that some sort of a provision that was added after the law was?
It was added after the voters voted.
I don't even understand how you can do that.
What do you mean?
How you can add a provision after a vote doesn't make sense.
Because the way it was written for.
What was the point of passing the law? What was the point of voting on the law if they can just go, but you got to pay your fines up?
Well, they voted and they didn't realize that somebody had come along and do this after the fact.
There was a challenge to it after the referendum passed because they wanted a description of paying off, all portions of your sentence.
I thought you said the Republicans passed something to make it not work.
Yeah, to define that portion of that
law. How can you do that if they by law voted in the state to make felons have the right to vote? How can they just pass it? But you can't because you got to pay this.
No, they're
saying you can, but you got to.
How can you do that after you say felons can vote no matter what? I don't understand how you can suddenly just pass this little thing. Goes,
I'm not sure.
Hey, bill is money.
I'm not sure.
The referendum didn't say felons can vote no matter what.
No matter what.
Come on. Isn't that just
fun on a ballot, though?
Isn't this whole thing the dumbest fucking thing? And Mike Bloomberg paying it off? Does that, I mean... Well, yeah, so you can pay all felons fines off everywhere.
The Republicans don't want these felons to vote because of what Brandon said.
And do you think that Democrats? Do you think they were really being that? Do they really feel it's that important for felons to vote, or did they think felons would vote for them?
Well, no, but the people in the state of Florida that voted in the last election.
No, I agree.
But it was.
But they overturned it. So I don't even understand how they can
overturn it.
No, they didn't overturn.
I added something.
You know what I mean? They just added. They made it harder.
Yes. Yeah.
It's the whole thing is so fucking. I can't believe we just spent 10 minutes on this ridiculous fucking stupid thing. But all I wanted to say was I just think Mike Bloomberg throwing money at it is shady. That's all I meant. I really didn't care.
Well, I'll add this fuel to the fire. I think LeBron put some money forth too.
Yeah, I know. I know he did. Good for him. I mean, LeBron putting money towards it makes it sound worse. If you ask me, but I'm sure some people think it's just wonderful. And he puts money toward the bond also. Okay. Our zany friends is out for and Holly Deals and D.com. Have a truck month. That means now is the best time to take advantage of this year's most incredible savings on all Ford trucks. This includes the number one selling truck in America for 42 straight years, the legendary Ford F-150. And, of course, the all-new Ford Ranger, the most talked-about truck in Detroit. So get to Zod Ford and lease a new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4. As low as $166 a month, or see the hottest staff in Oakland County about leasing a new 2020 Ford Ranger Crew Cab XLT 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Plus, Gabara and friends have Fusions, Mustangs, EcoSports, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers all under $200 a month. See all the details and surf their massive inventory at dealsindeed.com. And Luke Nowacki is doing his thing at Pinnacle Wealth Strategy. Call him at 248-663-4748 for rational financial advice. Balance your portfolio, stocks, bonds, cash on the side, if you have the luxury. Do you have a 529? Do you have a 401k? Have you examined what it's invested in? What about your company's pension fund? What is it doing? Is that a good place to put your money? Get advice, get a strategy. Call Luke Nowacki, Pinnacle Wealth, 248-663-4748. Security Investment Advisory Services off through Rollins, Social Corporate, member FINRA, SIPC, Rollins, Social Security, separately owned other entities, and our names brought... Reference here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated.
Sorry.
And Trudy, you want to handle Dr. Roche?
Yeah. Turns out when you are trying to remodel your bod, inches are a huge deal. You can take advantage of the minimally invasive and non-invasive cosmetic procedures now at the offices of Dr. Roche for the face, for the neck, for the body that will create a brand new you this fall. Teleconsultations are available, or you can call 248-338-1110, and you can shape and contour those hard-to-get areas that you want ripped, like arms and your back, your inner and outer thighs, and become more evolved. More evolved procedures like Body Tight Evolve, Diva and Arm Tight, and 360 liposuction, also Face Tight. All those things can sculpt you and make you look more beautiful for the fall, and it's the time to do it, too. Also, because it's sweater weather, breasts are $3,600, the saline breast implants, and you can also get breast lifts at the at Dr. Rush's office because he's particularly good.
Boobs!
So call him at 248-338-1110 for a consultation or go to droche.com to see how it's all done.
Brandon. You know who really needs to maybe call Dr. Roche? I think, personally.
Who? Who's that?
It's somebody that we know, someone that we have talked about in the past, and somebody who got famous because they lost all of their followers.
Jared? I am nothing without my following.
Jessie Taylor, you remember that girl?
Yeah.
Jessie Taylor?
I have no skills. I bring nothing to the table.
So she actually just got famous because she was trying to be an influencer. They took her... They blocked her from Instagram for a little bit. She posted a video, cried about it, and that made her famous for some reason. Well, now she's a singer.
Oh no, really?
God.
Wait, but did she say the N-word?
And yes,
in the song,
somewhere in here, the N-word gets dropped.
Oh.
She's not a person of color, is she?
Well,
is she?
Mm-mm.
I don't think she is. I don't know her heritage.
Well, is anybody giving her a hard time for it?
I'm a grind every day, bitch.
I mean, she's not giving a hard time, she probably is.
I don't think anybody thinks about her. That's gross. Does she have an OnlyFans yet?
I think so, because she's been nude online in the past.
This song is terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
This, by the way, this moron has 270,000 followers.
People like to watch a train wreck.
What is? I'm sorry. She's not. Is she hot? Am I missing something?
No, you're not missing anything. She's gross.
Stop fucking reporting me, bro.
But there are really attractive women who have less followers than that.
There's more dislikes on this YouTube video than
how many?
Likes.
It sounds like the kind of song that they would torture someone with, like the Baby Shark song that they would torture people with. That song, too.
Who's on OnlyFans now? Are a lot of people on that?
Well, the new one was Tyga, right?
Yeah.
Showing his dick. I don't know who else is on there. We know Bella Thorne ruined it for everybody, right?
It just seems like it's the place where people who can no longer make money doing anything entertaining go to make some money.
It's their way of doing porn without being in the porn industry.
But it's porn. I mean, come on. Unless you go on there. Because I know Cardi B said, I'm not going on there. I'm not giving up anything on there. I'm just going on there for if you want special private messages or something.
Oh, well, just do Cameo then.
Yeah, I don't understand what that is for.
It's kind of like it's like a dirty version of Instagram almost.
Isn't Instagram kind of dirty?
No, you can't even have your nipples on Instagram.
But on OnlyFans.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that appalling, Trudy?
You are charging people to be on OnlyFans.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You can't just make that free. Oh, by the way, Black China's on OnlyFans.
God. How does it work? Do you just sign
up?
Do
sex on there? I mean, I don't even know.
Do sex.
Something sexual.
So do you have to pay for each person you follow, or do you just buy an OnlyFans and you can watch everybody?
No, it's specific to the person, I think, and it's different price for each person.
Oh.
So it is like Cameo. It's like Cameo meets Instagram. Sex. Okay, great. Yeah. How neat. Is this really what the world needs, is OnlyFans?
No. We need less internet.
We need less access to everybody.
Yeah, that's sort of how I feel. I'm just, it is. It's just basically what happens is new ways are invented for people who haven't sucked enough money out of us to suck more money out of us.
Yeah,
because these.
That's America, baby. We have too much money here. I love it.
It would really be interesting to see what happened to influence if we had a real recession. Because it's interesting to hear. On the debates, for example, you know, this is the worst, the worst month, the worst economy, the worst. This and it's like, no, this isn't the worst. This is not like 2009. 2009 was crazy bad. There's still a lot of things good happening. And there's, you know, I think we feel that things are looking up if we can just get out of this morass of coronavirus, which maybe we never will. I don't know. Fuck if I know.
That the engine will start moving again.
Yeah, it's not like 2009.
It was a whole stop of the economy. It will start moving again.
It's hard not to wonder, though, if we had a real serious recession, what would happen to people like Jesse Taylor? Wouldn't she starve?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, she would. And you know what? That might be
worthless.
That might be the best thing for looking at her pictures.
Well,
she also has a Patreon.
You know, it's amazing to me, though. It used to be that, and I'm not pining for this or anything. I'm just saying. It used to be that, for example, if you're a musician, you're a musician. You made money doing concerts. You put out records. You made money. You know, you made lots of money if you were successful. If you're an actor, you acted, you know, and so on and so forth. Now, you know, all these things cross each other's paths, and everybody does everything. There's a million ways to suckle money out of people.
Oh, my God.
Cameo being another one.
I got to tell you about her Patreon. You want to hear what the different levels? For those that don't know, Patreon is you can support somebody like $5 and they do stuff for you. So for $1, you can just support her and then she just gives you a selfie photo, right? So $5, you get access to her Patreon feed, an update, you get cute and funny selfies, her past Snapchats and Instagram posts, which
I've seen girls do this.
You could get for free anyway. So then there's that's just fine. There's a $25 one. There's a $30 one.
How much does it cost to fuck her?
So you get up to 1,000. That's called the My Prince Charming. And it says, I'll do a custom photo set for you and we can discuss it together. Access to my private Snapchat. I'll mail you a very lewd Polaroid and sign it. And sign it once a month. Access to all
month. Oh God! Can you imagine once you get sick of her and they keep coming? Ah!
Access to all my photos. Access to
maybe
HD photo sets. Access to my cute and sometimes weird selfies. Behind the scenes of my photo shoots.
I mean, wow.
This but is wait, just... there's more. You can be a $2,500 a month sponsor.
Okay, so you had...
Listen to this. She says, for $2,500 a month, she says, I couldn't possibly think of a good enough reward for the very best Patreon I will ever have. If you achieve this tier, please private message me. I'm not sure what reward I could give you, but we'll talk about it.
Maybe.
So yeah, if you want to nail her, you can do it for $2,500. That's incredible. What a whore. And she's gross.
Ugh. Well, I was reading about the Instabrats, the brats of Instagram, the kids of Instagram. This is how bad it is. Not only, you know, do people, like I said, you make money doing this, you make money doing that, you got a million streams. Oh, I'm on Cameo too. Well, some of these people, like DJ Khalid, puts his one-year-old on Instagram, and the kid makes money on Instagram.
He's also the executive producer of his album.
Well, he's got a million followers. Mm-hmm. And this one, I was like, what? Michael Phelps, the Olympic swimmer, his four-year-old is on Instagram. He has 3 million followers.
Is the tranny he nailed on Instagram too?
I don't know. Good question.
No one ever asked that question.
And then let's see, four-year-old Ellie Lively McBroom, Austin McBroom, the football player.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't even know who that is either. He's married to an actress. Anyway, their kid is on there posting. Posts cost $10,000 to $16,000 to advertise on their one-year-old's Instagram. What the fuck? Great. Then there's lots of twins, millions of followers, and you know, tens of thousands of dollars per post to look at what the two fucking brats, the two brat twins post.
Twins.
And they model clothes, you know, they'll be dressed in the same thing. Or like, so you wear the blue one and I'll wear the red one.
Oh God. So that's why though, it's all product placement bullshit.
Right, but mostly these are celebrities brats.
Yeah. Great.
And so, you know, DJ Khalid can say, check out my, follow my side, my one-year-old's Instagram account, please. Because, oh, I love him, so I'll follow the one-year-old. Oh, my God, he's so cute.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
You got your wish, Drew.
What happened?
Tory Lanez has been arrested for the shooting of Megan Thee Stallion.
Well, it's about fucking time.
It's a real shame, too, because he just announced that he tested positive for COVID. That was 2 days
ago.
Oh,
he'll bond out in no time.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
Okay, so...
One felony count for assault with a semi-automatic firearm, personal use of a firearm, and carrying a loaded unregistered firearm. Why would he have an unregistered firearm? Why wouldn't he just go...
I don't know. This will probably help him sell records, won't it?
I don't know if he needed help selling records, but...
But it won't stop him from selling records.
Well, stop him from making records if he's in, you know...
He just dropped a record denying this, saying that she's trolling him.
He faces up to 22 years, so he'll probably get 3.
And, he'll get less than Tekashi.
You think so?
I don't know why he wouldn't. Tekashi was involved in 47 years worth. I mean...
Yeah, but he snitched. I mean, who does Tory Lanez have to snitch on?
20 years.
I mean, he has nothing. He has nothing he can provide the LADA with.
Well, you don't know that. I mean, a guy that shoots his girlfriend in the feet is bound to know something. I mean, honestly, he shot his girlfriend in both fucking feet. Yeah. That's fucking bullshit.
Wouldn't dance.
So, and you know what? I'm curious to see if this changes, but as of, I think, did we talk about this last week or a couple weeks ago?
With this story?
Yeah.
I think it was last week. Yeah.
Well, when we talked about it, you know, he had just dropped the record. And there was like two people who came out and said, hey, man, this is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else said a fucking word. All this concern about making everything right and Me Too and BLM... But this guy shoots his girlfriend in both feet and nobody says a fucking word? and they talk about his, hey, Tory Lanez album dropped.
No, the DA's really? Trying to make it right.
He has a foot fetish.
Well, I mean, the DA can do what the DA does, but it's just, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. I mean, we're talking about...
What if the DA is friends with the Attorney General of Kentucky? That'd be awkward. Because here she's the victim in that case. And then, you know, she's on SNL making fun of that guy.
Oh, yeah. He's worse than he's worse than slavery. Well, I'm kind of impressed that he's charged, actually. I just figured he'd never be charged.
Yeah. No, I was kind of surprised to read that.
I wonder if she really pushed that or if someone must have pushed it. I mean, that whole thing was...
I would think she would have.
Yeah, I think as time went on, she actually... It was him trolling her that really ratcheted her up because he was denying it on blogs and on various places. And she said, one more word, motherfucker, and I will, you know, I'll come out with all of it. And then he's put out this album with, you know, suggesting that he's being framed. Yeah. So...
Yeah, we can send him back to Canada. You know he's Canadian?
What?
Yeah, he's Canadian.
Yeah.
That is the least Canadian behavior I've ever heard.
That's pretty...
What if he got deported to Canada?
Oh, I'm sure he would continue being his wonderful, Canada. Successful self. But, you know, the thing about that story was, you know, there's a whole clip of him being pulled over and arrested because... They were leaving a party, and people heard him shooting his gun. So they probably heard the gunshots that he shot at her and described the car. The police pulled the car over. She gets out. Every step she takes, there's nothing of blood on the ground. Yeah. And they're like, what the hell's going on? Oh, she stepped on glass. And then she said, you know, just to make it even better, she claimed that she didn't say anything to the police because she was afraid the police would murder her.
Wow. What a great couple.
That's kind of hard to take.
You know what, though? I'm just reading about this here. His streams of his songs dropped 40% after the story came out of him shooting her.
Of course, the songs could suck. I mean, there could be that.
Right, yeah. But if you like them,
I mean, if he's 40%. Getting 60% of his streams, you would think a person that shoots their girlfriend in the feet would probably part with a lot.
Where are those Spotify employees now?
Well, you know, isn't that kind of interesting that something like a platform like that is so upset, and I keep reading this too, that they are demanding some sort of editorial control over Joe Rogan, and I haven't heard boo about playing his music.
It's music, and music's art, and art's messy.
Well, radio is talking about. I think what Joe Rogan does is somewhat is considered artistic too.
I absolutely do too, but people don't feel that way. They just feel like that's a person talking.
But songs say things. Here's what I'll say. If a white person puts something on there, if Bruce Springsteen puts out a song with 50 N-words in it, I think the Spotify clan will complain. Yeah. They'll feel a little differently about it.
Well, it's not about...
But if he shoots Patty Scalfa in the
foot... Yeah, it's more about that.
You know what this reminded me of? Last week, I was listening to... with some song list or something on my Google Play, and Gary Glitter's Do You Want to Touch came up, and I remembered that I had been on, I had somehow just bumped into, I think I was listening to T-Rex or something, and a lot of glam rockers start popping up underneath, and Gary Glitter's concert did, and it was like a retirement concert from 1976. I'm like, retired in 1976? What? You know, like Bowie retired in 73. Elton John retired famously in, I forgot what year, 76 or something. Yeah. So I'm watching this thinking, you know, like, this is really his last show. It's probably a good show, you know. And Gary Glitter, first of all, I love the drum sound on everything he does. He has, you know, that drum sound on Rock and Roll Part 2. Play.
If you like pedophiles, sure.
Well, this is what I was going through in my head. I was like, this is a good show.
What does he play?
Glitter, he doesn't really play anything in his shows. I think he can play guitar, though.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
If you play like "Hello, Hello, I'm Back,"
sure.
You see it on there.
Is this a hand clap song?
Yeah, it's a hand clap song. He has a lot of hand clap songs. Oasis actually paid him. He's considered a co-writer of "Hello" on "What's the Story, Morning Glory."
I feel like all his songs sound the same.
Well, the drum sound is.
I could play this
identical.
On the drums. Wait, are you? Did you say you're impressed by the drumming on this?
It just sounds different. It's just a different sound. I mean, it's like, I can tell a Gary Glitter song.
It's very phased.
It's phased, and the guitar sound is different, too.
Yeah.
The guitar sounds like a...
Gary?
I can't describe it. But anyway, we don't have to play a lot of Gary Glitter. I just was watching it, and I'm like, God, I really do like a lot of Gary Glitter songs. What's wrong with me? It's very distressing, you know, and this
look
guy...
look in a full-length mirror.
Is a no. I didn't need to look in the mirror. I mean, I know what he did. I know he's what a fucking creepo.
Doesn't
he is.
Change the art though.
And you know what else is that? This guy was caught before.
Yeah.
And they just went, it's Gary Glitter. Just give him a couple years. And he gets out. What happens? He does it again, of course, because they all do. Because you can't. You can't stop.
That. He just country hopped at that point.
Yeah, he got busted. Didn't he get busted in Vietnam or something?
Vietnam, and didn't he then go to like Thailand? And
Thailand, yeah.
Back to the UK.
Stories.
And, yeah.
And that, who's the DJ in New York DJ that got busted? And he was, some woman was going to let him have sex with her 6-year-old.
It's not Mark Parento, is it?
No. He liked older boys. He liked 14, 15 year old boys.
Oh, well, in that case. What?
Yeesh. Man, there were some creepy DJs.
Dave Herman?
Was it Dave Herman? I think it was Dave Herman.
Mr. Herman.
Yeah, great guy, Dave Herman.
Who was his equivalent?
He was on the air forever.
Who was the guy over in the UK?
I love that story!
that got away with it. He got away with it for
oh,
so long.
Oh, the children's show guy?
Yeah, the
children's show guy. His name is Jimmy Savile, I think.
Yeah, Jimmy Savile. Oh.
Yeah, he was talking to kids for like 40 years or something. And I believe, didn't he die before they found this out?
Yeah, he died his way out of it.
Yeah, I think he did.
It's a classic case.
But I don't even think he killed himself. I think he just literally died. I mean, you lucky motherfucker.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
Les Miles has COVID.
I saw that. Yeah.
Here's the best part. He's going to coach on Saturday.
From a virtual coach?
No. He's just going to be on the sidelines. As long as he doesn't have symptoms.
I didn't know you could do that.
Well, sure. Why not? Who's going to stop him?
You can president
a
country,
I guess, if
that way, too.
Nobody's near him. Whatever. Are the Titans forfeiting their game?
It's really sounding like it's going to happen because they had another positive. Not only did they have another positive test today, they had to close down the facilities because that's part of the NFL rules. But then Ryan Tannehill said, all right, boys, let's go to the high school and practice. And they got busted practicing at the high school. The NFL's lost control of it.
That reminds me, there was another story. Well, the NBA will probably finish the series Thursday night.
Tomorrow
I assume.
Night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's Friday night.
It's Friday night, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think so.
That makes sense that they would put it off a few more days. Their game 4, by the way, I think was the highest audience they've had in this series, but is the fourth lowest in NBA finals history, just above the other three from this series.
Just cancel the sport.
And I don't know, maybe... Was Brandon talking about this? I don't know where, or maybe somebody sent this to me. The Manny Machado meltdown. Did you guys see that?
I heard him yell. I saw him yell, fuck you.
You mean when he was angry because the guy in the seventh inning.
Yeah, Brewster. Brewster came in. Brewster. And Brewster was throwing fucking heat. I mean, this guy doesn't, he barely even winds up. It's
ridiculous.
Like he just throws the ball. It goes 100 miles an hour. He throws his 99-mile-an-hour fastball in the outside corner, and Machado blasts it. By the way, his fastball that he doesn't seem to even try on, it moves like a wiffle ball. I swear, I've never seen so much movement on a fastball. Anyway, Machado blasts it straightaway center, and Bellinger leaps over the fence, robs him of a home run, and the pitcher, amazing, Brewster, throws his mitt towards the dugout, throws his hat towards the dugout. He's raising his fist to the sky. He's so psyched. And then Machado just comes over. He's like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll be waiting for you, motherfucker. And the interesting thing about his little fit was that he had homered earlier, and he had a very demonstrative bat throw that I wouldn't even call a bat flip. It was, like, bigger than a flip. So I don't know why he's such a prick. Has Machado done stuff like that before? Maybe he has.
I don't know.
I wasn't really aware of him being such
a jackass. Chirp. Yeah,
he was more than chirping. He was, and he'd hit a home run. God, he hit the shit out of this ball too, straight away center field.
Wait, the one that he didn't hit that one though, didn't? Wasn't that who's the? Wasn't it Tatis that hit it?
Fernando Tatis.
Oh, the ball to straightaway center.
I thought so.
Oh, maybe it was.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, well, I think you're right.
Machado did have a homer earlier in the game.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it was Tatis.
He, of course, is on the San Diego Padre.
Yes, he is. That's correct. There was one of the
and 33 steal.
That, again, all hell broke loose in Wisconsin because Officer Joe Mensa was not charged in the latest shooting. He's been involved in 3 shootings in 5 years, I think. He is a black officer, which doesn't really matter, I guess. And there's a kid named Alvin Cole, 17-year-old. It was some to-do at a shopping mall, I think. And the cops arrive, and these kids start scattering. And one of them is a 17-year-old, Alvin Cole. And he has a firearm. And Cole shot. He fired a shot while he was running. And I think he might have hit himself in the arm, from what I read further about it.
Yeah.
And, of course, they demanded he drop the gun. He didn't, and they shot him, and he is dead. And the city of Wauwatosa immediately issued a 7 p.m. curfew, assuming there would be all hell to pay. Curfew was ignored. There was a big confrontation where people threw rocks and projectiles at police and destroyed some storefronts, and they just dispensed tear gas. And it's like, I mean, you sort of know what's going to happen. And as far as the rest of the story, because they just announced that he's not being charged, his gun had a spent round in the chamber, which they believe is the one he fired while running. And they did say that they believe he may have struck himself in the arm. I don't know if it went through his arm or what, but the cops then shot him. And so, of course, it's the latest harangue over a police shooting. And I don't know if people knew the information about it, but all I saw was the family talking, acting like, no, this is not the end. And, you know, it just didn't sound like, it sounded like they are more angry at this cop because they think he's gotten away with stuff before, maybe.
Oh, he did have 3 previous shootings, yeah. Didn't he?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Yes, did.
I mean, that stings.
You just said that, and I think I was still kind of in a bubble from all the sports talk, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think he's killed 3 people.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I agree with that.
And I read about the other 2 shootings, and he was cleared in the other 2 shootings, but, you know, still you're going, it just seems... I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, the Cole family insists that, you know, he murdered their son. And I don't know. They are bitching about the other previous shootings, too. And I don't know where this is going. It's like...
How many people are in Wauwatosa?
I don't think it's a big city.
He's killed 3 people in Wauwatosa?
There were a lot of people.
Two of them are black.
There were quite a few people at the protests. And I don't know if there were protests elsewhere.
Well, I'm just wondering
in
how
Wisconsin?
Many.
So it's a Milwaukee suburb.
50,000.
That's enough to have a protest.
It's just curious that a place with so few, such a small population, has a cop with a high fatality rate.
It's pretty strange. It was a. I know they said it was a high crime. I don't know if they said it was a high crime area of the city or if it was a high crime city. But anyway, so what's going on this weekend?
Hmm. Oh, no. Nothing. Lions.
That's right. Oh,
hey, they really can't lose, right?
Oh, that fly went on my pants because they love shit. God, I don't think anything's
I haven't got any plans.
Tom Brady's on TV tonight. That's all I know.
Oh, yeah.
Why would he be on TV tonight?
Because he's playing football against the Bears.
True.
Oh, Thursday night. Football.
Bears!
I did not know that. Didn't he just play on Monday night? No, that was a Patriots.
Bears are going to kick some ass. Yay!
I think it's his first national game. You know, that's a buck.
Is the Gronkster performing well?
He had a lot more targets. Was it last week or the previous week?
I know he did well. I just didn't know what he did last week.
Maybe this will be his coming out party.
How come Gronk is kind of laying...
He's nuts!
Why is he laying so low, though? It seems very un-Gronk-like for
I agree.
Him to be quiet
I,
like that.
Yeah. I expected him to come out flying.
He's trying to Gronk it up. Should we put a bet on it?
Yeah.
On the Tampa Bay game?
Wait, did you win any of your prop bets last night?
Yeah, what happened with the prop bets?
Oh, that's funny. I know I won one, and I lost the other one, but I don't know which one I won.
You definitely won the one that mentioned Trump? The name Trump, right?
Okay, yeah. So she never said the word racist last night.
She... What?
You listened to the whole... You saw the whole thing.
That seems impossible. I mean, I feel like I missed something, or I heard something that wasn't there, because when you said you were betting, she only said it once, right?
Because I told you, I only watched like the first 30 minutes of it, and I don't think she said Trump at all. She kept referring to him as the president or, you know, Mr. President.
Well, I do remember her as it went on. She did mention his name a few times.
Yeah, so I must have, because I had over five and a half.
Yeah, I think it went over.
She never said racist? I'm amazed.
You know, did anybody put a prop bet on flies? Because they were playing the other segments in debates where people, like Hillary, had a fly land on her. That was really gross. Landed on her face. And who was the,
I don't like flies.
Pence was clearly never going to know. That thing could have taken up residence on his hair. And if no one told him, it would have been there till the end of time. He had no clue. None. No. Absolutely
I don't like
zero.
Mosquitoes.
What? A portion of that fly's life was spent in Mike Pence's hair. 2 minutes is a long time in a fly's life.
Where? What? Sure. You know what's amazing? Now, after that happened, and I got done reading all the flies. They are trying to shit immediately. after I read that about 50 times, I was like, oh, please stop doing this. I looked at the TV and I started thinking, what kind of debate a skank is this, by the way? Where is this? Where was that debate?
It was in Utah.
Oh, yeah, Utah. That's right.
What kind of hall of skank was that? Where flies are just comfortable enough to sit on some guy's head for 5 minutes.
Flies are comfortable sitting on people at all times. But there was a Hillary one. I think it was de Blasio, too. There was another campaign speech of some sort where a fly was like all over somebody's face. I mean, so it's not uncommon.
Is that a debate hall of skank then? Immediately, yes. Isn't it like, get rid of that? Nobody ever debate there.
Blow it up.
It's gross.
Yeah, for sure.
I know baseball playoffs are playing every day now, aren't they? There's no travel
because
they're in the bubble.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no travel. That's why those series are going so fast. Are the series over yet from this? Did the Yankees lose?
Yeah, they lost.
They did.
They didn't lose the series.
Okay.
They'll probably lose it tonight.
Stan's hit 4 home runs, I think, or something crazy.
5.
I wonder how many cases. You know, there should be bets on how many COVID cases Virginia Tech will have, shouldn't there? They've had 23, 21, and 2 postponed games. I mean, I'm surprised they don't read more about it. Because every time I see it, I'm like, we have to be leading the nation in COVID. And there should be, I expect, dumb jokes and the whole thing. Football, COVID. I bet you they're missing at least 10 players this week. Let's see. What's the? By the way, has anyone played with minus 20 players yet besides
That's
my
team?
That's
the only one I know of, yeah.
4 days ago. She's like, hopes the worst of COVID-19 is in the past. Boy. So, boy, they're sure confident in this program, aren't they? After being Duke, 21 missing players, 2 missing coaches. Hope he's still going to be vigilant against... Vigilant? They're not vigilant ever! I'm not a complainer. I'm grateful we got through. It's just a little bit of weight around you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, if you fucking were safe, then you wouldn't have this weight. Make it to breakfast is a line that the Hokies have adopted from a Navy SEAL that visited the team during fall camp. Referencing his gruel training, he said that his mindset was just to make it to breakfast. And, well, yeah, make it with your mask on.
I was going to say, this isn't about training.
What a stupid... Doesn't even say. Although a large outbreak may be gone, the Hokies still must try to avoid small flare-ups. What? Why? What?
Hey, next man up.
What is with the protocols?
Next man up. Start trying out the student body.
Good God. I don't think I don't think the student body has as many cases as the football team has had. I mean, how stupid is that? Yeah. So who are they playing this week?
I don't know. Maybe they're in a bye week again.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
They might be.
Are you serious?
No, they're playing UNC. They're playing eighth-ranked UNC. That's
tremendous,
a big game.
Tremendous school.
I hope they've I hope they have some of their players for that.
That's a ranked matchup.
What's the latest skinny from the Big Ten, by the way? I haven't heard boo since they said they're coming back in whenever.
Ready, man. I haven't heard much either. It's the quiet before the storm.
Do we know where the quarterback's going? What's his name?
Dylan
McCaffrey?
No.
No? I think he would have transferred by now. And he is transferring. I saw some debate about, he's not transferring because he didn't win the job. And I'm like,
yeah,
well, really? Why would he leave if he won the job? Oh, well, I guess he would leave because they're not playing. Or they weren't playing. But, all right. Well, everybody remember about your Royal Oak Bucks for this weekend. As your time's running out, you got a couple weeks. You've probably been warned if you're getting close. And you can spend your $20 anywhere. You can use the Lyft to get $10 off getting there and getting home. Just remember GO2RO. And then the $1,000 gifts of Royal Oak Bucks. Five winners will participate in this. Five people. All you have to do is post a photo to your Instagram feed of your favorite spot in downtown Royal Oak. Tag at downtown underscore Royal Oak and use the hashtag MIDowntownDay. And this rolls through Sunday at midnight. So there you go. Hey, can we tag the Van Halen interview with the Van Halen manager? Can we tag that on the end of this?
Sure, we can do that.
With Noel Monk?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was a good interview. Although people thought he was drunk, which I think made it a better interview. Because he sounded kind of nuts.
Sure.
But his book is really good, by the way, if you want to read about Van Halen. And
I think I have that book.
He only takes you up to 1985, I think, because he was let go.
Yeah.
I wasn't really sure why he was like, you know.
It wasn't a David Lee Roth clash, was it?
No, it was, I think they were implying that he was ripping them off or something. And, you know, of course, he was never charged or anything like that. They just cut him loose and he worked for other people. But he was with Van Halen in the glory days from pretty much beginning to end. And he also, I think he got them a really good deal because there was am I confusing this with the Black Crowes book? I think there's a date where they can re-up the, you know, the two more albums and they like, you know, somebody forgot the date. And so he didn't tell them and then they had to.
I do remember that story.
Yeah, that might be a Black Crowes story.
And I thought that was Van Halen. Hey, I got Jerry's. I got Seinfeld's book.
Oh, yeah. How is it?
I'm only like about 10 pages in. It's kind of like his bits, basically.
Oh, really? His observations?
Yeah. I didn't realize it was going to be that. It's kind of.
I'm not surprised. I kind of want to.
You know, I got it from Costco. I can take it back, can't I?
Sure, you can always take anything back there.
I got to find my email regarding the Golden State Killer series.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I'll be gone in the dark.
Yeah, I fucked some things up on that. Uh-oh. I was really sleepy watching episodes like 4, 5, and 6, and I reviewed some of it in the morning, like an episode and a half. Mm-hmm. And apparently, I should have done some more. I should have done some more updating or rewatching because I must have missed a chunk or two that just completely gapped out on.
Why? What? Like what?
With
what?
I just had a couple details wrong, which made me mad.
Oh.
Hey, I had a detail.
Oh, it was
just
stupid.
I just want to say it because Karen McDougal did not go out with that fat guy. So I just want to say that.
Karen McDougal didn't.
Did not go out with Elliot Broidy.
She sued him, though, right?
It was another Playboy playmate. And I remember us talking about her.
I remember that now. Yep.
Yeah. But I was astonished at someone like him with some
money.
Like her.
Money.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, but it wasn't Karen. So.
Oh, man. Why can't I find this? Am I getting that much email that I can't?
There were a lot of good emails today about brushes with celebrities.
And Michelle is back.
Yeah, we'll have to get into them.
What did Michelle do?
She said a whole list of people, man.
Mm-hmm. Damn it. I'm pissed because I think I gave Michelle McNamara too much credit. I suggested that she was closing in. The emailer, which I thought was a little rude, she suggested that Michelle McNamara had no idea who the Golden State Killer was, and it was really just their DNA that they developed shortly after she died that got them the...
Really? I thought, okay, maybe it's being, yeah, presented, I mean, it's being that she zeroed in very closely on him.
If I had read the Cliff Notes, I might have thought that. But she according to my true crime friend, I blew it. I really blew it. But I mean, that makes it all more interesting to watch because now you don't know what else I said that's full of shit. You should watch it anyway. It was really good, man. If you like true crime, it was a fascinating story. And I loved her story, too.
All I know is do not watch the HBO documentary on Craig Carton. It is so ridiculously stupid. The former radio talk show.
You know, it's funny. I would have watched that just because he was a radio guy on WFAN and worked with Boomer. And I know they did well and all that.
You should watch it. I don't think it was that good of a documentary. I don't like the guy. I think, and he's involved in the documentary, which makes me feel like he's just doing it for money. Kind of like you said, he wrote his book was for money.
Yeah, I didn't like his book. His book was just like a phoned in bullshit book. You know, I just remember him talking about going to.
I feel like there's a lot of phony stuff with him.
I think it was Denver, and he's like, I didn't have any experience, and they just threw me out, and I just fucking owned the market in a week.
Yeah. I mean, his gambling stories are kind of fun, but there was a lot of stuff I'm like, that didn't happen. And then Boomer Esiason called his chair the power chair. I'm like, no one calls it the power chair. It's not a thing. We jokingly refer to it as the power chair. I think because Mike Francesa, so maybe it's just a sports radio in New York thing to call it the power chair.
I did catch up and watch the Netflix American Murder on Chris Watts. That is so disturbing. There is so much fantastic footage because, you know, the wife, Shanann Watts, she published so much on social media. And, God, you see so much of these little girls and to know what ended up happening to them. But the thing is, at the very end, Mark, you kind of alluded to that perhaps he put those girls in the tanks while they were alive, but I don't know.
I thought he strangled them. 100%. Somebody wrote and was all pissed off about it. I'm like, I didn't say it.
That was his words.
I thought he smothered them with blankets or something. Or
he said he put the blankets over their head. I don't know what that means. I don't know if he put it over their head, then threw them in so they couldn't see.
Trying to defend him. I think he would throw them in there without killing them. I mean, he seems like he's
fine. Then he strangled them and threw him in.
Would be worse. Yeah. I thought it was worse to just throw him in there. I mean, I don't know how much worse it can get, but geez.
And I didn't know his mistress was a lot hotter than I remember.
Oh, she was hot. Nicole Kessinger. Whoa.
And doing a little research.
I thought you were talking about Trent.
Trent was hot too. Why does he draw the short straw every single time? What is it? Why do they want to deny that Trent Bolte exists? I'm a Trent Bolte advocate.
Because Bolte needs more people to back up his story.
Is there absolutely no one?
It doesn't seem like there is.
He supposedly met Chris Watts' kids. He like brought him on his homo adventure with Trent.
Unfortunately, they can't.
No, they can't.
You know, testify to that.
Well, they must have gone somewhere.
Well, there's
somewhere.
No proof because Bolte lost all of his phones, and he doesn't have any indication or proof that he can back it up, which is why it doesn't appear in any of these Chris Watts documentaries or anything like that.
Just irresponsible podcasts that like talking to him.
I did see some Nicole Kessinger information online when they had to really deep dive on her for the investigation. Because there was a lot of people who thought maybe she was involved or that she planted the seed that he needed to get rid of the family. And I don't think that's the case. But in their investigations, they found that her computer searches just prior to everything happening were how to prep for anal sex. And so it looked like Chris Watts was getting some... some freaky stuff.
Well, he was on a dating site. I mean, they knew that. That was a fact, wasn't it? I mean, didn't they get that out of his phone or something that did indeed happen? Or was it Bolte had communication with him? CNN put Bolte on.
Yeah, Ashley Manfield did. Well, there's your evidence, fake news.
I was just about to hit the outro, but just one final thing. This brush with celebrities from Christopher is like, I think, is he getting in a shoving match with Kevin Costner? In the mid-90s, I was in high school. Every weekend morning, my dad plays golf with his buddies, as he has for years. This is the weekend after Oakland Hill hosted the U.S. Open. Oakland Hill is a PGA event. Often VIPs come to my dad's club. They'll shuttle them over to avoid the crowd and mess. Well, people, I came home early Saturday afternoon to find my dad cursing and pounding on the garage. When I inquired what was wrong, he explained his lucky towel was missing from his locker. This lucky towel had been with him quite a while. It's pretty funny. And he was known for having it around his club. When he asked the locker manager, Bob Coleman, where it might have gone, Bob explained, Kevin Costner used his locker that weekend when he went over to the U.S. Open, and Costner had just thrown it out. My dad was fucking pissed. Next week, we had a trip planned to go to Alaska fishing together. My dad used to run incentive trips for the Big Three and took people all over the world. Wow.
Oh, cool.
This trip was a gift from the lodge manager as a thank you for all the business we'd brought up there. We took off to AK. Found it was only us and two others in the lodge. I was offered a job to come to work as a guide that next summer, so I spent time hanging out with the guides and workers at night doing nefarious things to pass the time. And about the second night, rumors started circulating. There was a big VIP dude in. Daff explained that when the owners wouldn't give a name at a time, it meant it was a big VIP. We came back from fishing and found sitting in the bar, it was Kevin Costner and his young daughter, Lily. We introduced ourselves. Kevin gave off quite a Mr. Big Stuff vibe. Lily was sweet as can be and was ecstatic to be spending time with her dad. This apparently was a tradition that whenever he got done shooting a film, they took a trip to spend quality time together. She was beaming. We all sat at our respective tables. I love his descriptives. We all sat at our respective tables in the bar talking about the day while Kevin and Lily played a board game. Every 15 minutes, one of the staff would come over and tell Costner, Kevin, you got a phone call in the office, and Lily would deflate. We invited Lily over to chat with us, and she lit back up. After 20 minutes, Mr. Big Stuff phone break, Costner would come back and snap his fingers at her to come back to the table and get back to playing. Not a thank you for keeping her company. Nothing, Dick. But we didn't say anything. Next evening, story. Don't you love how people compile all these details and just commit them to immediate memory? The next evening, I was in the manager's office talking about my employment next summer and going over dates, details, when Big Stuff comes bounding in. He started talking to the manager like we weren't in the middle of something, and I wasn't even there. Yeah, you know how kids just come up and will interrupt their parents?
Sure.
That's what it sounds like. After a few minutes, he looked at me and nodded. I took the opportunity to tell him what a small world is. In fact, he'd been in my hometown visiting the U.S. Open, and even smaller, he'd used my dad's locker while he was there. Crazy. I anticipated this to be a humorous exchange and wasn't prepared for his reaction. He lost it. He goes, entirely,
what?
You know how hard it is being me. This is how rumors get started. You have no idea the pressure I have to deal with. And various other Mr. Big Stuff BS. Jesus. I tell him to chill out. Chill out. He was cut out of the big chill, so that probably hurt his feelings. He was the dead body. Remember? He's the dead body in the big chill.
Oh, yeah.
This only enrages him more to the point that he starts poking me in the chest, repeating himself. At this time in my life, I had a bit of a rage problem, and I felt it was bubbling up. I poked him back and told him not to touch me, and he shoved me back. Paralyzed in between us is the lodge manager watching a spiraling situation out of control between the son of his biggest client and Kevin Costner. A few more pokes, a handful of shoves, and things really escalated. There we were in this small office, toe-to-toe, going to blows, calendars, notes, pictures being hurled from the wallpapers. What? What? A full-on fist fight with Kevin Costner?
Seriously? Oh.
The manager eventually separates.
I don't know. This is how rumors get started.
And ushers us down this long hallway back to the main lodge. Staying in between us, he walks us, and I see my dad standing there with a cocktail waiting for us. He's completely oblivious to the vibe coming in. The fact our clothes are a mess, huffing hair messed up without missing a beat. He says, hey, Kevin, funny story. I think you used my locker last week. Costner never missed a step, blows past him, told him to fuck off. My dad's confused and watching him walk off and spinning back to says, the fuck is the matter with him? Then looking at the two of us standing there completely disheveled, said, what the fuck happened to you guys? Needless to say, the remainder of the week, we're there, completely quarantined from each other, which was hard to do in a very small space.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Lily Costner, by the way, is all grown up now and does shows with her dad. She's a musician.
Oh, that's boring.
She's finally getting the attention from daddy that
Lily. She
always desired.
Was the end of his career, Dances with Wolves.
No.
Hmm.
Oh, he did go on to do
Upside of Anger.
Jack Ryan, right?
He's in Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
He's in
That's
a few
Kiefer.
Things. You know what? The end of the story is that his dad found out that Kevin Costner never used his locker and never used his towel. His lucky towel was never used by Kevin Costner, nor was his locker.
Costner was
his
right.
His buddies were fucking with him.
Oh my god!
Well, he was in the Superman. He played the dad in the recent Superman movies, Jonathan Kent.
Okay.
All right, I want to hit the outro and get us out of here. Get this stupid weekend started.
He was in Draft Day.
Was Draft Day?
Was that
what? What was Draft Day? Is that?
That was the really realistic movie about the NFL draft where he bamboozles all these first round picks at the very end.
What happened? Alert.
Did anyone care about that movie? I don't remember.
No.
I mean, did it do anything?
Does Costner only do like real life sports movies?
I know.
Honestly, he's got about four or five of them.
Oh, Field of Dreams, though. Is that real life?
No, but he did, wasn't he in a tiger? Didn't he play a tiger in a movie?
Yeah, The Upside of Anger. Or wait, no, I'm sorry.
For Love of the Game. For Love of the Game, he was a baseball player.
Yeah, he threw the no-hitter.
So he does only fictional sports movies.
Tin Cup,
it's another one.
Right.
Yeah, he has done a lot of sports movies. There's a really stupid one that's escaping my memory right now.
Field of Dreams, Bull Durham.
Oh, those are good, actually.
That's right.
What if they saw that guy's dad's favorite towel in Tin Cup?
That'd be awesome. It's on, Costner! Oh, man. I could see him getting real huffy, though. Just can't see getting huffy back. All right, everybody have a great weekend. And we'll catch you on Sunday. I guess that's about it.
Reached my breaking point after I made that jump to heroin, and I just knew if I didn't make a change, I would ultimately lose my life. I was passing by a police department, and I just made the split-second decision to walk in. The police officer greeted me, Hope Not handcuffs arrived, and saved my life.
The first step doesn't need to be the hardest. Let us help guide you to recovery. Go to HopeNotHandcuffs.com to learn more.
No, Monk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
Bum, 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 bum.
It's Michael Anthony. Nice.
Sweet. My Noel notes.
The.
Running with.
Best.
The devil. No, Monk.
God,
the author, the manager of Van Halen.
Hi.
Whoa. Hey, Noel, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Pretty good. I have to say, as I read your book, it seemed like, at first I thought, why did it take him so long to write that book? And then as I was reading, I'm thinking, it would not be easy to revisit all this. That was a rough 7 years.
A rough 7 years, and it could have been 900 pages, but there was a lot that I had to cut out, but most of it's in there.
Yeah. Have you heard from any of the guys? Because it didn't sound like there was much contact after your run was over, which is really too bad.
No, I really haven't heard from them.
David's responded.
What are they doing now?
David responded on Twitter.
What did David say?
Huh?
David responded on Twitter and put the word book.
I thought David responded really well. I was proud of him.
What did he say?
He made a joke about, for all your questions, the answer is yes. Absolutely.
No, my lawyer told me to shut up.
Yeah. Just fine.
Yeah, he did not fare well in the book. I would say because it's funny, I'm a Van Halen fan, but your book, I mean, reading a lot of pages on Van Halen like that, it was able to influence me in how I feel about these guys, because I don't feel that strongly about it one way or the other going into the book. I just like the band. I mean, they're not my favorite band, but I just really thought David Lee Roth comes off so, so badly. And that was no accident, I assume. I mean, you wrote the thing.
I just wrote what happened. I had no axe to grind.
Yeah.
I got no reason to be nice, to be not nice. That's what happened. What can I say?
It sounded like the world's worst babysitting job.
Great way to put it.
No, I had worse. I just did the pistol tour before that.
Oh, really? That was a lot worse. Well, that was a short tour, though. I mean, that was a one-shot deal, right?
Yeah, but that was. Well, I got along with Sid real well. We were good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're all babysitting jobs when you're dealing with these people.
Yeah, really. I mean, honestly, it sounds kind of pathetic as you read about it. But, you know, again, this is why we think it's cool, because these guys get to act like teenagers for their entire professional lives if they can pull it off, you know, if they're good enough, and they were good. And by the way...
They were great. They were a brilliant live band. I haven't seen better. I haven't seen anyone jump off a drum riser, go 15 feet in the air, and do a split. You do that, and you got a band.
In a jumpsuit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what, you know, a band is better than the sum of its parts, and they clearly were. It was a unique lineup of guys. I thought, you know, by the end of the book, I felt like you really have two guys who were just plain assholes and serious babysitting jobs. Eddie seemed like your favorite. I mean, you really had a place in your heart for him, and Michael Anthony just seemed like a fantastic guy. I mean, you got to have that one guy who has some level of sanity. He married his high school girlfriend. It sounded like he was pretty loyal to her. Alex Van Halen, I guess that's the one that surprised me, because it sounded like Alex Van Halen really started your demise, or he's the one that really worked your demise.
Alex became a total asshole. And it's ironic, because in the beginning he was easygoing. First couple years we go out to lunch, dinner, hang out. And this is my own feeling. I think I kind of describe it in the book, but, you know, if you had a brother that was a couple years younger than you, but was a genius, and you had to put up with that all those years, and you were just a good drummer, and you could be replaced by Schmegaggy. Well, you kind of feel, same as drummer.
Okay.
He's known as well as Alex. Alex, you know, was nothing exceptional. He wouldn't have been there if he wasn't Edward's brother.
Yeah.
And that burns a hole in his little head. After a while, he starts drinking. After a while, he thinks he's... Well, you know what he thinks.
Yeah.
What do you make of the way they treated Michael? Michael Anthony.
Well, Michael was the nicest guy going. Never gave me a problem. You know how I feel. Thought it the shittiest thing I'd ever seen done.
Mm-hmm. Did you try
you
to?
Don't do
you,
that to people.
Michael, or Noel, did you try to step in and say, hey, guys, you can't just cut this guy out. They'd already sold a couple million copies of 1984 when they backdated this thing, basically, to cut him out of any royalties. I mean, did you try to...
That's what they did.
Did you try to go to bat for him?
You can't. I mean, there's four guys in a band. Three want to do it. Three are, you know, basically cruel mothers. And... I can't say, you three are wrong, you can't do that to him. Unless Michael had come to me, which I really wanted him to do. And my answer to, see, they all, Edward, David, Al would come to me. Michael never did. I had an answer for him. Don't sign it. Tear it up and say, I can't play tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And it would have been a different story. Well, they couldn't have played without him. But Michael never stood up for himself. I can't stand up for him. He's a sweetie pie, but you can't be a sweetie pie and do something really as bad as that to yourself. If you let three people walk all over you, nothing I can do.
Well, let me ask you something.
There wasn't anyone. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. I was just going to say, you know, you describe Alex as being easily replaceable as a drummer. How good did you think Michael Anthony was in terms of a bass player? I always thought his vocals, his backing vocals were great, but I'm not really sure. How good a bass player was he?
He was a good backing. He could have been replaced as quick as Alex, but okay. Not with his voice.
Yeah.
His vocals were incredible. They made up for a lot of David stuff. And you couldn't have brought someone in overnight to replace Michael. It couldn't have been done.
Yeah,
and
I get it.
And that's why I say all they had to do was say, hey, I'm taking tonight off, and they would have been screwed.
Well, that was probably the second, maybe that's the worst thing in the book. I was going to say the Spark-O-Matic deal, you know, you asked them about sponsorship.
They only lost $250,000. What's the big deal?
Well, the big deal is, you know, you go to the trouble to negotiate this. It was a fairly new thing at the time. Some guys were doing it. A $1.2 million is pretty good. And David Lee Roth just happens to be the guy you talk to, and he says, Levi's Marlboros or Marlboro or fuck it, and, you know, hangs up the phone, basically. And then Alex comes back, a couple weeks later and says, maybe we should, can you get that deal back? Which is just so comical. Supertramp had already signed the deal,
ooh,
I think.
Yeah. Bitter pill.
You know, David, he'd come in, he was sweet, happy, wonderful, bright. He'd come in, he was a pain in the ass, nasty and mean, and you never knew which one you got. And I happened to pull the wrong straw.
Yeah!
But you got to be a real, I mean, and David's very bright, very sharp, and obviously... That's only half of David, because that was the dumbest thing I'd ever seen.
Huh. Well, the first dumbest thing they did, though, was sign the contract that indebted them to Warner for life, that you got them out of.
Yeah, but you're right. But that wasn't their fault. Their lawyer, their manager, their accountant wanted to be friends with Warner Brothers. That was the name of that game. And what's the best thing to do? Mo was the one that put their manager in place. And, you know, I kiss you, you kiss me. And he screwed them blue. To break that deal, I had to really think. And doing that, I made them $20, $40 million, maybe more over the lifetime of the band.
Well, let's just say.
But then they never even said thank you.
No, it didn't sound like they were
a nightstick.
It did not sound like they were terribly appreciative of your work, which which you described in the book. And I couldn't help wondering. Let's just say that you had continued to manage Van Halen for the next 15 years. What do you think? Is there anything you think would have been different, or you would have done differently that was obvious? Because they did get a new singer, and it worked out pretty well. But was there anything that you saw, or did you even pay attention to, or did you just kind of close the book on Van Halen?
I wouldn't have done a darn thing different. Everything I did, I got to say, was right. Alex said you stole. I didn't steal. They did a line audit on me, which they made me pay 20% for. And
bastards.
They didn't find one penny out of place in 7 years, because I don't steal. I made them into a huge merchandising company. Where normally you get 25%, they were getting 50%. There's nothing I would have changed except, well, how can you take someone's vocal cords out and have them still talk? You know?
But how about after you left? Did you see anything that you would have done differently, or did you feel like they did okay?
No.
No, okay.
No, I saw it coming. You know, when Edward's sitting on your lap with a bottle of vodka, you know, gram of Coke, and my wife sitting there watching him, hugging me, telling me he loves me, and then in his stupor, he makes a mistake by saying, I love you, Noel. You know, I don't care what Al says.
Oh.
Okay, you can kind of guess where that's going. You know, by that point, the writing was on the wall. Al wanted me out. He wanted his new wife's
sister's husband's a manager of the band, who happened to be a nice guy. He's a Canadian.
How does Alex have the power to do that, though? Alex is the, like you said, he's an average drummer. How did he pull that off? I would have thought Eddie or Roth.
He's Edward's brother. Yeah. You know.
Okay. He's stupid. Sorry.
He's tied to his dick. What can I say?
Hey, speaking of dicks, the manager, the original manager, filmed all these sexcapades with David. And
yeah, I read about that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you said... You said David has about, three-fourths of them. Who has the other quarter of the tapes? So where are those at?
I don't know. Marshall once gave me one.
Did you watch it?
And I had seen the ones that he had made up. He had taken them all from 8mm to DVD. And I saw those. They're pretty cute. They're so those. You know, I got a free one with every 100 record, but, you know, it wasn't to be.
Did David Lee Roth discriminate in the women that he liked? Or was it all kinds of women?
Yeah. If you sat down, you pissed, and you had nice tits. That's about it.
Oh, so he's a breast man.
Yeah, well, no, any. You didn't have know. Big tits, you yeah. know.
Well, it sounded like Alex Van Halen did the most, in terms of groupies, it sounded like, maybe I'm just thinking about one part of the book, but I thought you said Alex Van Halen would have led the band in women.
Well, you got to understand, Alex had to do something. You know, and he had to be brilliant at something.
Yeah.
And that was his forte.
And drinking.
Well, that's a given.
Yeah,
but anyone that sees huge penises coming out of the wall has dementia breakup. You got a problem.
He was hallucinating that penises were coming out of the wall.
The ironic part was my wife was listening to him. It wasn't like me making this shit up.
Yeah, and he tried to hit on your wife too, which is really disturbing. I mean,
yeah, that was sweet of him. But I got to say, he had taste there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's very pretty. I agree.
Yeah. His first couple wives, I don't know how many he's got now, but I couldn't even talk about that. I would have gotten arrested.
They gave you a 6-month contract when you jumped into Marshall's shoes, and
I had a month to a month.
Months to
and
month.
They said, we'll get you a real contract in a couple of months. And I kept asking him for it. It's going to happen, though. It never happened. I was on month to month. And
why wouldn't you just walk away from that?
What?
Why wouldn't you just kind of walk away? I mean, that seems like a terrible situation.
From month to month?
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you're paying me 7 figures, oh. I'll take it. No, I know I'm bending over to grab my ankles, but, you know, not much I can do about it, you know. Basically, Alan and Edward, when Edward could think, which is very unusual, brilliant guitar player, mentally defective.
Hmm. Yeah, he sounds like a 15-year-old to this day. I mean... We interviewed
You've
Edward.
You've given him a couple years.
Okay, 13. No, we interviewed
there
him.
There you go.
He was all over the... He and Roth... David Lee Roth is one of the hardest people to interview because he doesn't listen, first of all.
Yeah.
And Eddie seemed extremely ADD to me when we talked to him. It was just very... Both of them are very strange to talk to. Sammy was by far the best guy to interview of those three, but, you know, I didn't work with him the way you did. This is off the... sort of the Van Halen menu, but you told a story in there about a little backstage fight when they were with Journey and Montrose, and somebody threw a big bowl of guacamole, and I guess it hit Steve Perry in the head and got all over his beautiful jacket. And everybody's expecting, you know, this rage, you know, from the lead singer, the top band on the tour, but no, it sounded like he was crying.
Oh, my God.
He was crying. Lord. I don't blame him. It was a sateen jacket. Come on. You got to get your priorities straight. This is a beautiful new Germany jacket.
Oh, no.
Sateen.
Yeah.
He was only a lead singer. They never would have given him another one. And think about his hairdo. I mean, be real. This guy got really hurt. His hair got hurt. His jacket got hurt.
His ego.
It hurt his feelings.
Yeah, poor baby.
And Van Halen.
I mean,
was...
you're not taking these guys seriously.
I guess not. And Van Halen made $750 a night for that tour with Journey and Montreux.
They didn't make that. They were making $25 a day per diem. The management took all the money home.
Oh, did they? Wow.
Which
somebody
wasn't a lot.
Yeah. Somebody,
you know,
made money.
And, you know, the record company. They were screwing them blue for the first 2 years till I broke that contract. When you figure how much I doubled their royalty rate from 75 cents a record to $1.35. Now you tell me how much money I made them over 25 years.
Yeah, no, it's I got to tell you, in reading the book, and I assume you sound like a pretty straight guy. You don't seem to hold anything back. I couldn't really understand what the beef was. It's obviously just a family thing, but it makes for a nice book, because if you were still with him, of course, we wouldn't have this nice book to read.
Right.
But going back to Eddie, you know, when he meets Valerie, and you describe it as the high school quarterback meeting, you know, the head cheerleader or whatever, you know, this cute couple, they're both, Eddie's really
I
awkward.
I think he was more a tight end, but go ahead.
After they got married, you referred to one time Valerie was on the road, and she said something that sort of indicated she didn't understand. It sounded like she was very naive, like she didn't think Eddie misbehaved on the road. How bad was it? Did Eddie change his ways at all after he married Valerie, or was it just right back to the old bacchanal as soon as he got back out on the road?
I think he, after that wedding, he changed for at least a week.
Wow.
And I'm not sure it was that long, but I think that was took him to sober up from the wedding.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, Valerie's complaint to my wife was, how come you come on tour and you only get laid once?
Oh, that's right.
Well, most of the women didn't have that experience. But I don't know. I don't like to get in between the two of them. Because talk about naive.
Yeah.
That was where they were totally in sync.
Mm.
I mean, we're not talking about Rhodes Scholars here, you know.
Hey, Noel.
You know, we're looking at definite third grade.
Well,
I would say summa cum laude.
Okay.
We were watching the Us Festival the other day because it's the one that's on. thoroughly entertaining.
You're hitting my buttons today.
Why is that?
Noel wasn't too happy.
The Us Festival, I'll tell you one thing. People ask me, what was the best show you ever saw? And I standard answer. It's the other way around. What is the worst show you ever saw? And yes. I would say they never did a bad show. Never. They could be so screwed up that their three eyes would be rolling in their head, and they could play like nobody. That's they right, never baby. Did a bad show except the Us Festival. Huh. And then they just... It was the worst show I'd ever seen.
Well, wasn't it Roth mostly?
None of them were stellar. I mean, it's like, you know, we're not talking about good, bad. Actually, I just spoke to Steve Mandel, who was the our publicist, who was a great guy. And I left for Steve with David before the show and said, you know, can you watch them? And he looked at me like, out of your bloody mind, Noel. It was a mistake, because I came back and there was David, and he saw three of me, and he was doing interviews. And the interviewers were just cracking up, because he didn't make three coherent sentences, period.
Yeah,
that was the only bad show they ever did.
How much?
What do you expect for $1,550,000?
How much of his stage banter? I mean, obviously, when the little person comes out with the whiskey bottle is pre-planned. How much of his stage banter and the things he says does David Lee think of before the show?
Let's put it this way, David. Kind of scripts it out in his head, and he says about 80% of the same thing every night, yeah. But he does,
yeah.
You know, change up a bit, you know, since everyone only sees one show, they think it's unbelievably spontaneous, but, you know, most acts are like that. They're not going to give you a spontaneous show every night. They can't.
Did he ever get the Did he ever get the city wrong or anything like that? Like, I love you, San Jose.
Yeah, what?
Did he ever get the city wrong, like when he was talking to the crowd?
Wrong city?
I didn't get the first part of that. Oh, no. That's kind of funny because my lawyer was watching him, and David, right before we would go on, he would, at the bottom of the stairs, he would always kneel down. And I was standing next to him, and he'd kneel down. And my lawyer came up to me and said, Noel, is he praying? I said, no, he's trying to remember what city he's in. Because if he couldn't really remember it, he would ask me. But, you know, David was a very bright, sharp guy, a third of the time.
Well, you know, nobody will ever understand why he left this band. Obviously, he and Eddie just were at odds at the end, in spite of putting out their best album, 1984. You describe being on that last, you guys are in Europe, I think doing some of the last shows you were on, and David wants to play this cassette of him doing California Girls. And I remember, you know, as I'm reading that, I remember back when that happened, and I didn't really remember the order of events, but I would have assumed that he never played that stuff to Van Halen, but he did. He played it all to the band. What the hell did they think it was?
What it was? Piece of shit.
I mean, did they think he's doing a side project,
now,
or did they
David,
think...
David, remember, David didn't have Edward do the music. I mean, people disagree with me, but without Ed or David, there's no Van Halen. You can have a Van Chiron, a Van Hiccup, a Van whatever, but you can't take away David, and you can't take away Edward and call it Van Halen. Because without the two of them, it's not going to happen. You know? I'd like to see anyone jump off that drum riser, do a split. And when they came down, Van Ever, who it was, would be in the hospital.
But he's playing Benoli's playing that cassette to people. Was he in his mind? Had he already left the band, or did he just think, hey, did he really think the guys were going to think it was cool, or what do you think was going through his head? I know that's a really hard question to ask.
I was going to say, you know, if I could read mine, I thought it was the dumbest movie ever made. But then he's made some other ones that were equally as foolish.
Yeah.
But I didn't get it because I really believed in 83 that we would make an album like 84 and go on for another 5 or 10 years. And really be the biggest band in the world. We didn't get to where we should have been. And that's the one thing that broke my heart. I didn't get that band to where they were the best they could be.
They did sell 10 million copies of that 84. I mean, they were on their way. It seemed like things were really, the future was very bright at that point, because the first four albums were...
Well, you said it. They were on their way. They hadn't gotten there yet. Another couple years, you wouldn't have believed what they could have done. This is all from me.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, I've been watching them. I saw hundreds of their shows, and I watched them progress from 78 to 84, and their progression was incredible. If they weren't, you know, deep snow skiers, they would have progressed better. But that's the thing that hurt the most. Breaking that band up, you know, at this point, it's a joke. You got a fantasy band out there who's making some manager a fortune on a nostalgia. These guys are embarrassing themselves. I mean, they should just get in their rocking chairs and wheelchairs and go home. You know, but they're making $250 a night a ticket.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So when they didn't screw everybody in 84, they're making up for it now.
Are they out there now? Does anybody know? Are they touring now?
They're going to be out again if they can figure out who's screwing who the best in the band.
Uh-huh.
You know, but that 2017 show was, come on. If you saw the 1982 show,
yeah,
there was no comparison.
Yeah. Oh, they were great.
I mean, did you see David jump? About what, 4 inches?
You love
and
that.
He could kick. I saw him do a kick, and he looked like, you know, something out of a chorus line. You know, I was embarrassed. I saw a little bit, turned it off, and said, you know, they're making a lot of money. I guess they're not that stupid, but they really are embarrassing themselves.
I really thought with Sammy they were a good band. I enjoyed Sammy. I didn't have the whole, you know, oh, they suck without Roth, or it's got to be Roth or nobody. I thought Sammy did a nice job. I mean, he was off to a big head start because he had a career and they had a great thing going, but I thought the Sammy Hagar thing worked pretty well.
Well, you can think whatever you want.
I don't know what the record sales say, and that's not the definitive thing anyway, but they sold records with Sammy. They toured.
Well,
pretty well.
Yeah. You know, I like his goatee myself. If
very
he
attractive.
Put a little black in there, he could have a regular pubic hair going down there. You know, I never thought the guy was good looking, but, you know, we're in the sheep area here.
But
I love the guy. You know, guy might,
of course you do.
You know, hey, I never met him, and I never spoke to him. I never listened to anything he did. But aside from that, bloody guy was incredible.
Yeah. Did Edward?
I would spend $250 to watch him screw up.
Oh my God. Did Edward and David Lee ever have any personal chemistry with each other? I mean, they were great on stage. Performance chemistry was good, but...
That's all you need.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a no.
No one's getting married backstage, but as long as they can do what they could do on stage, that's it. They were brilliant on stage. One of the best bands. And I work with the Stones. The Who, the Ooh. Airplane, Ooh. Every... I mean, I did Johnny Cash's tours in Europe. And,
wow.
You know, I was pouring Southern Comfort in 68 to Janis Joplin.
Oh.
We were a good friend, the Grateful Dead.
Wow.
When I was working for Bill Graham, it was a fun time. That was real party time.
Who did you have the most fun with? What band over your whole career?
Oh, boy.
Is it still the Sex Pistols?
That's real hard to say. I wouldn't call it fun. You know, but...
Looking back...
Johnny Cash. Cool Joan guy. Baez. I tell you, the Moody Blues, one of the nicest, sharpest bands I ever worked with.
The Moody Blues, really?
I lived in England for 3 years, and I got to work with them for a year.
What years were that? What years was that, Noel?
That was 1970 to 73.
It doesn't seem like the Moody Blues would give you any trouble.
No trouble.
No trouble.
They seem
nice
kind of heavy.
Guy.
Yeah, you smart know? Guys, for sure.
And I had dealt with them at the Fillmore in 68 with that Mellotron, that ain't in the neck machine.
Well, they did okay for themselves. The Moody's had a pretty nice career. Do they exist?
They deserve it.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
They owned the town they lived in. You know, they were the nicest bunch of guys.
Are the Moody's out there?
I hung out and got drunk with them. I mean, hey, I had a tough job that tour.
Hey, Noel, you worked with Hendrix, right?
I did.
All right.
For a little while.
I'm sure you've been asked before, Eddie or Jimmy, who's better?
Oh.
I can't answer that. You know, they're different, and they're both brilliant. I don't take anything away from Edward. The guy is a brilliant, brilliant guitar player. And I take nothing away from Jimmy. He is a brilliant, brilliant guitar player. Now, of the two things I just said, which do you think I like better?
The one that's brilliant.
There you go. All right. You're happening tonight, baby.
Noel, I have to say your outspokenness is quite refreshing. It's been great to talk to you. It's really a nice book. It's a good read. It's rock and roll. I love a good rock and roll book, and I poured through this thing. I read start to finish. Usually it seems like I don't get to quite finish these things by the interview, but I really enjoyed it, and it was great to talk to you tonight.
Well, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I hope the
Most
book...
people don't even want to talk to me anymore. I don't make enough.
Hope the book's doing well for you.
Actually, I love it. I get this, you know, basically, I'm just having a good time.
Good.
Good.
And I do appreciate you folks. You know what you're doing. Good interviewers. Can't complain about you guys.
Well, that's...
I would, but I won't.
I know you would. I'm sure you tell us to our faces, so I appreciate I'll take that as a compliment.
Why not? Turn around, you could give me a back kick. Nah, you guys are good.
Well, thank you.
You see, in Detroit, unlike here in Colorado, you're born with a concealed carry permit.
Yep.
Here, you've got to apply for one. That's your big difference in Detroit and anyhow,
we'll take it.
I don't want to take up any more of your time. Have a great evening. And I'm just expecting a couple of hitmen over here soon.
Hey, no, it's really
have a good evening. Folks.
It's been fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks,
have
Noel.
A good one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Oh, man, he was great. I love the guy.
Brandon had a great Separate at Birth with him.
You know, I heard it. I don't know who it is, but I know it's somebody. Who is it?
Big Magic Johnson. He sent a little Donald
Sterling-esque. Oh, wow. Yeah, there is a Sterling. Definitely.
Especially the way the sentences would trail off at the end sometimes.
Big Magic. That's really funny.
I'm sorry. I didn't...